I've never gone this way before.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of ways I've gone that you haven't.
What is your name? John Ringer? What kind of a name is Ringer?
Winger? Well, I'm adopted. I spent most of my life in institutions.
Doesn't surprise me. You look like a typical low-life character to me.
Actually, I'm a photographer. I took this job because I love people. There's nothing I enjoy more than meeting someone like yourself and getting to know you and then taking a few action photos of you while I drive.
Will you stop? Turn around. Watch the road. Turn around. Stop with the pictures. Aren't you going too fast?
Oh, it's not the speed really so much. I just wish I hadn't drunk all that cough syrup this morning, you know?
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find me.
Is that?
I don't know.
Don't answer it. It's for me.
What?
What's up, dog?
Not much, dog. What's up with you?
I'm here to pick up Casey. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm awake and I speak English, so yeah, I do know what you're saying. What's your name, man?
Sky P. You know what I'm saying?
Again, I do know what you're saying, but I appreciate you continuing to check in with me on that.
These men are consummate snowball artists. They use sense and nerve gases to induce hallucinations. People think they're seeing ghosts. And they call these bozos who conveniently show up to deal with the problem with a fake electronic light show.
Everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Kids!
In the 90s, when you bought a new system, it was basically ready to go. But those days are gone by, so buddy, don't be that guy. You wanna be the first in line, but I say no, 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 no. They won't have near enough games, no matter how great they seem. It takes at least a year or two before they're running full steam. Yes, it's a dirty little trick, so you gotta be staunch, kid. Don't ever buy a console at launch. I'm being serious, do not ever buy a console at launch.
You took too long, now your candy's gone. That's what happened. Pagow!
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real? Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
Hey, what is this one? What is the one right there?
Oh, this?
Uh-huh.
That's my credo. No regrets.
Mm-hmm. How about that? You have no regrets?
Dad?
Nope.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
First, this is near. Right here. Near. Mm-hmm. You see? Huh? Oh, okay, I'll do one more for you, okay? Okay. This is near. This is far. And this is near again, okay?
Some people have no willpower, no brains, no vision. They just drift through life like lumps of crap.
What is she talking about?
Boom! Yeah! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Boom goes the dynamite! Woohoo! Hey, everybody! It's time for Entertainment Landfill. Holy shit, I have my earphones up way too loud. I blow my own ears out because I play music before the show, and then I'm cranking it, and then right when the show starts, I'm like, hey! And I'm like, oh my god! I just rattled my own brain. So anyway, guys, hey! It's time for Entertainment Landfill. It's Friday. We haven't done a show in a while, so I'm ready to get cracking, talking, and spinning some records here, Bill.
Oh, awesome. What are you going to play first?
First, we have to introduce my co-host. The first one is Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. He's not here. Steven is flying from Hawaii, so he texted me about an hour ago.
Damn, Hawaii. Yeah.
He texted me about an hour ago. He was in L.A. Then he was flying to Texas. So I guess they can't fly the whole way from Hawaii to Texas. It's too far.
They probably have to fly to Hawaii to L.A. and then L.A. to Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a distance over the Pacific.
It is.
What the hell is he doing in Hawaii?
But he's doing a lot of snoring on that airplane.
Ooh.
We also
would not
have
want to be sitting next to him.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe I should introduce you, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
It's going.
Boom goes the dynamite, sir.
Indeed.
All right, so we haven't done the show in like 3 weeks, I think, right?
Yes, close to that.
It's been a while. It's been a while. And maybe 4 weeks. I don't know. Eh, who cares? But anyway, some different things have happened. And as anyone knows who listens to our show, we both enjoy the video game or two, the video games. You know, all our lives we've played video games. And something exciting happened this past week. Well, actually, just yesterday. And was it a week ago? Last Friday?
Yeah, last Friday.
Last Friday, the PlayStation 4 was launched.
Yes. It was launched out of a cannon.
And then today, or if you count like last night at midnight, the Xbox One launched.
Well, I think it was more of a drop like an anvil.
Just dropped out of an airplane.
Just this massive black box of heaviness.
So here's the thing. You know, honestly, either one, you or I would easily take either console if people were just giving them away, right? You know,
yeah. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. But these things are very expensive, so you have to choose which one do you really want. And
yes.
Back in E3, you know, when they unveiled them, you know, there was all that stuff about how the Xbox One has to stay connected to the internet 24 hours a day, or when you want to play a game, it has to be plugged in. I can't even remember what all the shit
was. Yeah, there was the whole DRM thing where you couldn't sell used games or trade them without some sort of key. I mean, there was this just this ridiculous contrived digital rights management.
There was the price tag, which was, is it $4.99?
$4.99.
And it comes with a Kinect. You have to buy it with a Kinect.
Yes, it's the Kinect is essential to its operation, in fact.
Yeah, you can't not have a Kinect. So basically, if I were to buy this, I'd have to have that. You know, I have a Kinect now on the 360. I have it on the side sitting on a subwoofer. I only prop it up when I play a game that needs it, or mainly my daughter. You know, yeah, I don't use it at all.
I went to my sister's 2 weeks ago, I think. Maybe more. I can't remember. It was Halloween. And they have the Xbox 360, the Star Wars edition. Okay. And I go in and I brought them this little add-on lens that you put on the Kinect that you can play closer to it now. You don't need to stand as far back because they really don't have the room for that. Okay. And I was like, where's your Kinect? I want to put this on it. And they had it in the closet. And that's honestly, there's just nothing to play with the Kinect. And they have a 4-year-old boy who loses interest really fast and doesn't have the patience to, you know, troubleshoot stuff. So it's just like, oh, let's just put this away.
Yeah, I mean, Emma honestly has never lost interest in it. She still plays it pretty regularly. They have the Just Dance games. The unfortunate thing of those is she plays like the same like 3 songs over and over again.
Oh, God.
Like the Despicable Me theme song, she does that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't take it another time. Please play a different song. God, I'm begging you. Play anything.
But it's a Despicable Me, jumping my way.
Is there a rap interlude in it?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is. It's the
weirdest
song I don't even
think I'm aware of it.
But she also plays the Kinect Adventures that came with the Kinect. And that's still fun for her. And honestly, she gets exercise from it. So I encourage it. If she wants to play, I'll let her.
And I know that game, I wanted to download that game that Tim Schafer's company, I can't remember their name now. It's like Happy Theater, Happy Fun Time Theater or something.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's this interactive thing that I wanted to try that, but I've just never gotten around to it.
And that's the thing, like, if you see video of yourself on the Kinect, the 360 version, it's not that great. It's kind of muddy.
No, it's terrible.
And so the Xbox One, it's supposed to be 1080p, right? It's supposed to be a high def camera.
Apparently the Kinect for the Xbox One is basically what they wanted originally, but because of limitations, money, all that stuff, they cut it back.
Right. So basically, you know, the Kinect for the 360 was kind of like their beta version, like they were trying it out, you know.
It was.
And so now they have the real thing, how they really want it packaged, where you have to have this goddamn camera hooked up 24 hours a day.
Always watching you.
And that's it. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. You bought a PlayStation 4, right?
And I didn't mean to. That's the thing. Like, I was going to wait this out and see what happened, because there wasn't anything I really wanted to play on the PlayStation 4, because I'm not a big Killzone guy. I played the first two, never played the third one. After the second one, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. Like, even look at my PlayStation Network achievements, and I think I stopped after hard, because those
even
Killzone games are irritating as all hell.
You remember, Sony achievements were, it was something that they implemented after the PS3 was already out?
Yeah.
Which they copied from, you know, Microsoft Xbox.
That's a really good idea.
But I have no idea where to even look at those things. I have no idea.
You log into PlayStation Network. And it's funny, on the PlayStation 3, you actually had to sync your trophies. Like, you had to manually update it.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it was like, in case you just really didn't care, you just didn't bother. But I played through Killzone 2, and by the end of it, I think I spent 2 days trying to finish it, because this last section was just so irritating and difficult.
Right.
But I just didn't care about the story, this whole Hellgast and it just
Hellgast.
Yeah, the bad guys are Hellgast.
I get Hellgast sometimes,
Bill. Yeah, I do too. It's horrible smelling.
Yeah, like, it's not
like they
good.
Walk around like rotten egg stench pouring from them. But I just didn't care. So that was one of that was their big marquee killer app, if you will, Killzone Shadowfall. And the other one was Knack. And it looked interesting, but then the reviews came out and they're like, this is really mediocre.
Uh-oh, fine.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to do it.
Lara got a PS4 and that's the only game she got was Knack.
Oh. So I actually told you that I had canceled it, and I did cancel it. But what I forgot was I had 2 Amazon accounts, and I had ordered it on both for some asinine reason. And I forgot to cancel the other one, and I get a ship notice that I think it was the Thursday before it came out that your PS4 is on the way. Congratulations. And I was just like, oh, shit. Yeah, it was a mixture of, oh, shit, there's $400 out the window.
I have to admit that I didn't really care. Like, I assume that I will eventually get the next-gen system somewhere in the future. I knew it wouldn't happen on launch day. But when launch day comes around, like, oh, PS4 comes out today, all of a sudden I'm like, I want one!
You're so excited!
Yeah.
It's infectious. I think it's, you know, that goes back to even as a kid. So excited for that, the day that the Dreamcast came out. It was like 99.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 99.99 that the Dreamcast came out? It was
something like that.
But it was just like, woohoo, Dreamcast.
I'm trying to remember how I got a Dreamcast, because usually what I do is I wait for to see if my wife will buy me something on my birthday or Christmas time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if Vanessa got me the Dreamcast. Oh, Heather would be so pissed if she bought it for me and I give it credit to Vanessa. So I'm going to say Heather got it for me. And I'll edit this part out of the show. But, yeah.
There's just something exciting about launch days of even though
totally.
A lot of times the games suck.
Yeah, we always know that, like, Benkei and the giant enemy crab.
Yes, the PS3 launch was horrendous.
Yeah, we're not excited to play a game like that.
No. I remember the other launch
giant
title
enemy
was...
crab.
Shit, it was this game filled with QuickTime events. It was like something legend. I don't even remember. I just remember their big demo of it was this girl like flying around and kind of hack and slashy, and everybody was like, ooh, ah, and then it finally came out and the reviews were horrendous.
Ridge Racer!
Was it Ridge Racer, Bill?
No, it wasn't Ridge Racer.
No, it's... I know what you're talking about. It's by the same people who did Heavy Rain, isn't it?
It might have been. I'm looking it up because it's driving me crazy now. Let me look. United States launch titles. Okay, there's Genji, Days of the Blade.
Genji? You mean the one with the giant enemy crab?
Giant enemy crab.
Benkei here.
Based on Japanese history.
For massive damage.
Yeah, it's like based on Japanese history, and you have a giant enemy crab here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
you know, it wasn't a launch title, the game I'm thinking of, but
I'm
crazy. Something will come up with it. But, yeah, it wasn't a particularly fancy launch. It was a lot of Marvel and Madden. And
the main problem, this is what's funny, though, is when the Xbox 360 came out, they kind of had their shit together, it seemed
they
like.
They did.
So basically, remember when they first announced the PS3, it was like PS3 will retail for $599. Wasn't that what it was? And everyone was like, it was like pin drop in the room. Everyone was like, holy crap, that's expensive.
Yeah.
You know? And so
I remember I paid that $600.
And it was like, holy shit. But then, you know, the Xbox came out and I don't remember how much that was.
It was $399 for the full, and I think $299 for the core, which didn't have a hard drive.
Right, right. And so basically, it's kind of been the opposite this time.
It's exactly the opposite this time.
The PS4, which is very excellent specs, if you're in that kind of thing, is pretty reasonable price for what you get, right?
Yeah, and it's because they didn't include the camera. And you still get the game with the system whenever, even if you don't have the camera. But, you know, they're giving you the option. Hey, if you want this camera, go to the store, get it for $59.99 at a later point. They didn't cram it in with the system so they could sell it for $399.
And they're smart. They could be like, hey, you get the PS4 now. You know, somebody in your family get you the camera for Christmas or something like that.
This camera is not essential. We have not incorporated this thing into our system to the point where you have to have it.
Yeah, they never should have made the Kinect that way because...
No.
I honestly, if I had an Xbox One right now, sure, I'd be excited, but I'd dread, like, oh, God, what am I going to snake this on top of my TV? Where the hell am I going to put this eyesore? You know, they try to make it look cool looking, but I honestly don't want to see it all the time.
You know? Xbox One is ugly.
Yeah,
and
it's a big
this
box.
Beast. It almost looks like a computer mini tower.
Yeah.
You remember those old desktop units that people would set underneath the monitor? That's what it looks like. Except don't set anything on top of the Xbox One because there's a fan there.
Yeah, there's a big fan on top. Because we all know the original problem with the 360 is that it gets really hot and it's really loud from the fan. So they've tried to remedy that situation by having suitable ventilation and it being quiet. They want it to be quiet. But not to mention the red ring of death problem that they had with the 360.
Yeah, the original units.
Basically, every I'm assuming every single unit of the 360 eventually will die because of
that. And yeah, because I believe it was the heat sink.
It just detaches from the board eventually from the heat.
And the stuff went bad. The cooling, the stuff that you put in between the heat sink and the processors. I can't.
And I remember, like, it happened to you. And it happened to Lara, and Lara's was relatively new when it happened to her, and I was like, hey, I'm not having any problems, never happened to me, and then eventually one day you turn it on, it won't turn on, it's the red ring, and you're like, ah, shit, it happens to everybody.
So, I was surprised that mine had lasted as long as it did. Mine lasted until they released the black units, the elites.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whenever mine went dead, and I immediately went out and bought a new one.
Well, that,
and then kept the one they sent back to me.
Right when the PlayStation 4 came out, we started hearing about bad units.
Yes.
And has anything else been said about that, or is it just a minor defect?
No, I think they were blaming it on Amazon because the majority of the units that people were reporting as having problems came from Amazon.
Really?
But then a lot of the units that the Taco Bell guys got early had problems.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know what they did to solve that, but mine, I got mine from Amazon, and I have yet to have a problem with it, and I have maybe 10 hours on it, but it's fine.
That's good. Maybe it's just some minor defect with a lot of units.
Well, they're reporting the Xbox One is having hardware problems. Disk drives aren't reading and stuff that. So
God, it's always so scary when you buy something new that has a huge price tag.
Yeah, I know. Nothing like buying a $500 system only to get it home and play one of the crappy release games and be like, oh, now I can't play my crappy release game.
The one good thing you're usually pretty good on is if you get a third party game, like Call of Duty came out, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed. I'm assuming that's more of the same, but with better graphics. You know what you're getting, basically.
Yeah.
If you like those games. Like, you played Battlefield on PS4 so far, right? And
yes.
Are you pretty wowed by the graphics?
I'm stunned by it. In fact, I bought Battlefield 4 for the PC, and I had my laptop, which is relatively powerful. I mean, it's, Core i7 processor, GTX 660 video card in it, everything. I mean, it's like a gaming laptop. And I put it to medium-high settings, like not ultra-high, but just high. And I had my PS4 running, and I was switching between the HDMI inputs, and they honestly looked almost identical, except for maybe a couple shadows, and on the PS4, at times, like there's some noticeable pop-in, like whenever you're going through a new area, and maybe something in the distance is a little blurry, but then as you get closer, the texture pops in.
Right, right.
Like, they would have that with, the Mass Effect games had that. But, yeah, I mean, that's really the only difference. The PS4 is shockingly good to a budget PC graphics. Like, I've been really impressed with it. It's stunning. In particular, Battlefield 4. It's a gorgeous game.
Yeah, so just imagine like a year from now the way the titles would look.
Yeah, whenever they can finally program it to utilize the PlayStation potential.
So we all know that, these two systems can do great graphics. It's over time game mechanics and stuff like that. Like, 360 and the PS3 have been out for a long time, and over time we get different games and stuff. It's always about innovation and just something that's fun to play more than graphics.
And it's really funny because Infamous Second Son is coming out next year for the PS4, and I had played the first Infamous and loved it. It was just so much fun. It was a very comic bookish, open world kind of game where you could make choices to be either good or bad, and you would get these electrical powers, and you could glide around the city on the subway line or any electric wires and stuff. It was just a blast of a game, and I was like, okay, let me play Infamous 2.
So I started doing that about a week before the PS4 launched, and I'm playing Infamous 2, and I'm just shocked at how those jaggies are around every character and animation. And I'm like, how old is this game? Is it like... And then you look at a new game at the end of the PS3's life cycle, like The Last of Us, and none of that is there. So it just shows you, even moving into the future, like maybe 2 or 3 years, how well they've come to utilize the system.
Yeah, it's about learning how to get the best out of the system, which is exciting. You know, that's why the whole dilemma is, do you wait or do you get it right away? I think it's cool to get it right away, but obviously I can't do that. But I'm trying to think, like, if anyone who's listened to the show for a long time, you know that Bill got me an Xbox 360 on my birthday. And I believe it had been out probably a year by then.
About that, yeah, because I was playing and I was just like, man, I wish I had someone to play with. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get him an Xbox 360, a Halo 3 edition.
Yeah, it was the
ugliest
Halo 3
green and orange you've ever seen.
Hey, I didn't mind it.
I remember when I came down there and I'm sitting in your living room and I look at that Xbox, I go, God damn, that thing's ugly.
It's such weird colors, but I'll never forget putting it in. It was so exciting. And remembers that old Xbox 360 interface on the screen, the way you navigate. And
the blades.
I just remember the first thing when I plugged it in, it was like... It's like, damn, this thing is loud. Because, you know,
did somebody just turn on an industrial fan?
It's like I had had, like, the PS2 was the most advanced system I had up until then. And it was like, that thing never made a sound. And this
thing was just a black box.
Jason, what's that sound? Oh, it's the Xbox. Don't
worry.
Oh, my
God, it's a tornado.
But, yeah.
He's prepping for takeoff.
And then, I don't know, the PS3 had been out for a long time when I finally got that. It was much cheaper.
Yeah, you got, actually, when you got it, you got the Slim, right? That was the second incarnation of it. So it wasn't that big, bulky, piano black version with the Spider-Man print on it.
I think I have the piano black one. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just logged into the chat room. Mm-hmm. And Adam Sexton said Heavenly Sword. Yes, Heavenly Sword was the game.
That's it, yeah. And, you know, it's like has incredible graphics, but it's basically Dragon's Lair, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And that's the funny, the launch title for the Xbox One called Rise, Son of Rome, that looked like a major QTE, like, combat game, but they've now changed it from the symbols of the buttons on the screen to they just... glow the color
or something.
Of the button you need to hit. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I saw that at E3, I was like, wow, that looks incredible. Mm-hmm. But everyone was talking about how it was actually supposed to be a Kinect title.
What?
It was originally supposed to be a Kinect title for the 360. And then it just wasn't working out, so they ended up going to controller based and went to the Xbox One.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that's exactly why it's as lackluster as it is. Also, I think in one of the reviews they mentioned it's only 6-hour campaign.
Oh, I hate that.
I think the games right now are $49.99 across the board, like Amazon, and I noticed Walmart was doing it today.
That's
so you're still
really
going to pay
though.
$50 for a 6-hour game, but
oh,
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget, Bill, when I first got the TurboGrafx-16, I mean, dude, back then, games for the TurboGrafx, they were $60.
Those were hella expensive.
There were even stuff like, R-Type, which I really wanted. It was $75, like at Babbage's. Yeah. And I remember,
and that's 1989.
Yeah, and I
so
remember
you're talking like $80 today, $80-$90.
I got, and I was such a cheapskate, you know. I didn't want to spend that. And I remember this.
How could you? How old were you?
I was working, and
yeah,
I was
still
a
minimum wage job in 1989.
I was making like $4 an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
and
come on.
I remember I bought Vigilante. Do you remember that game where the
Jesus
guy's...
Christ, I had that for the Sega Master System.
Yeah, the guy's girlfriend gets kidnapped, and you fight these guys
it's
in five levels.
Dragon.
Dude, I paid like $65 for that thing.
And I'd take back right now.
I'd go home.
I'd find Babbage's and take it back.
I go home. I put it in 30 minutes, and I've gotten to the end of the game.
The only game I ever got that I was so excited about was Gotcha for the NES. I remember torturing my dad going into Toys R Us, like, oh, I got to have it. I got to have it.
Because
Gotcha was that thing. Was that paintball in the 80s, the Gotcha, kind of like a corporatized paintball? And
oh, yeah, Gotcha guns, yeah.
Yeah.
They had that one quarterback.
I got it home, and it's the same four levels over and over again. And you actually have to use the controller to move the screen. It's a scrolling screen.
I was Jim McMahon on the commercials.
Yeah, I mean, it was the most disappointed I had ever been in a game that I wanted so bad. Like, it was just like having your soul sucked out of your body.
Wow.
So I know that feeling.
So, yeah, we've bought shitty games before. Like, I want to ask you this. You've had the PS4. You've not played it that much, though, have you?
No, I really haven't. I haven't had that much time just doing so much stuff around the house. And, you know, you got the fall and the winter's coming quick. And you're just trying to get everything done. But I think I've got about 10 hours into it. I'm almost done with the Battlefield 4 campaign. I messed around a little bit with Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed, those always look gorgeous, right? I've never played
one. I enjoyed the first two games, tried playing the third one, lost interest. I think, how many has there been?
I think this is the fourth one.
Well, you know what? No, this is actually the fifth one in a way, because after one and two, there was another one called Brotherhood. But I do think like it offshoots. Was kind of standalone. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was an add-on to the second one. I don't know. And then there was a third one that was actually the fourth one in like Revolutionary War times. And now there's this one that's a pirate dude thing. But yeah, I messed around with it a little bit. I just read that they actually released a patch that improves the graphics for it.
Weird.
So I have Battlefield 4, Knack. Which, I don't know, maybe I'll play it with my nephew. Maybe he'll enjoy it
more.
Have
you played it at all?
No. Nope.
How do you know if you'll like it or not?
You know what, you're right.
I heard it's brash, Crash Bandicoot fun kind of a thing, you know?
Sure.
Just like
so Battlefield 4, Knack, Killzone Shadowfall, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Need for Speed Rivals, and today, because I was in Walmart, I noticed that they had their games for $49.99. I picked up Injustice Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game, kind of like what if the heroes were actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that up, only because I was going to pick it up anyways, but just decided I'd do it there. But yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying it. It's a gorgeous system. I love the menu system is much more intuitive than the PS3 system. That is awful.
It's always been so goofy, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? The PS3, I was never a big fan of. It had a handful of games that I liked. I love the Uncharted series. And I can't really think of anything else that I liked on it.
I don't even think I've played 5 games on the PS3.
Yeah, it just wasn't. We've used our PS3s more as like entertainment units.
My PS3 is for Blu-rays and Netflix. Netflix is pretty awesome on it, especially now with the.
And I would use it as like a streaming unit to stream stuff off my computer.
Yes, I finally, when I messed with it, I figured out how to stream video directly from the from my computer, so I can just. Basically, have a video folder of different TV shows or movies or whatever that are in a video file on my computer. I can do that, or even music. And I didn't even mess with it for a long time, but when I figured it out, I was like, it's so simple.
Yeah, it's a great unit for that. PS4 doesn't have any of that. In fact, a lot of people were kind of upset that they couldn't use the PS4 the same way as their PS3 for
the
entertainment stuff.
Yeah,
but they're looking at adding it in with a patch later.
Yeah, they should, because if people are used to that kind of feature, they need to keep it.
Yeah, so
But yeah, I think it's a really cool unit. I love the DualShock 4, and this coming from a guy who just hates the DualShock controllers in general. Right. I remember on the launch PS3, the DualShock that they shipped with it didn't have the rumble.
And it just it was this cheap, light piece of crap.
Yeah, it felt like you could break it. Like an eggshell in your hand. It just felt awful.
Yeah, mine just stopped charging, so I just like gave it to Emma, and she pretends to play games with nothing there. When she was little, she used to do that.
Yeah. But
I was going to say that Taco Bell is doing this, you know, win an Xbox. All you got to do is you get a code, you text it in, you find out if you win. So I've done that a couple times. I'm just trying to win one, right? Mm-hmm. But, and...
win a PS4.
Yeah, PS4. What did I say?
Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I've been a PlayStation 4. So, and, you know, you may think, oh, what are the chances? But a long time ago, when I was a kid, I was like 10 years old, I won a ColecoVision. And I was asking you if I've told this story on the show before. I'm sure I have.
Yeah, but it's such a great story. I mean, come on. ColecoVision was just... I know a lot of people rag on it. But the ColecoVision was just one of those things that I absolutely loved. It was a Super Atari, man. The graphics were better.
There was Atari and Intellivision. And let's be honest, the graphics sucked ass on both of them.
On both of them,
ColecoVision's graphics looked awesome for that time. I remember the commercial with Donkey Kong. It looked awesome.
It looked like Donkey Kong in the arcade.
Yeah, and I wanted it so bad. And I don't even remember how much it was. It was like $200 or something. It could have been $250. I don't remember. But there was no way I was ever going to get this. My dad would never get this for me. He'd never be able to afford it or whatever. And I remember, like, telling my dad, I'm going to save money. I'm going to buy this. And he's like, all right. You know, like, we were getting, like, allowance of, like, $3 a week or something at the time. So I was like, you know how hard it is to save money when you're a kid?
When you're a kid and when it's only $3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one told me how long that would take. But
there's gum and candy bars that need to be bought.
And not to mention that... Once you have the game console, you're not getting games yet. You can't afford those either. So,
Coleco came bundled with Donkey Kong.
Yes, it came with Donkey Kong, and I'll never forget.
That's all you were playing for a period of time.
Oh, yeah. And I remember my friend Scotty, the Rondo. He was like, he was always into baseball and sports and stuff. I never was as a kid. And he was
sports.
Like, hey, man, you should collect baseball cards like me. And I was like, no, I don't really give it, you know, I don't care.
Could there be anything more boring than baseball cards? My dad tried to do that with me. We spent an entire year collecting Topps baseball cards.
Yeah.
And it was just, he was more into it than I was. It was stupid.
So Scotty goes, here, let me get you started. And I was like, okay. So he buys me a pack, and I was more excited about the gum inside.
The gum, that hard, nasty gum.
So he gives it to me, and there's a contest, like win a trip to the World Series, where you, if you scratch off each base, if you get a home run, you go to the World Series.
Okay.
If you get a triple, you win a ColecoVision.
Nice.
If you get a double, I don't know, movie tickets or something, you get a single, like a dollar off a Slurpee, I don't know. So anyway, I'm scratching it off, like, first base, Coleco. Okay. Second base, Coleco.
Whoa.
Third base, Coleco. Oh my God, I want a ColecoVision. Oh my God. I was like freaking out. And then I was like standing there and I was looking at it. I was reading the rules, you know, trying to contain my excitement. And I was like, I got to go home. And I ran from the store all the way home. And, you know, I showed it to my dad. I go, Dad, is this true? Did
I
win? Is
this real?
And he was like, yeah, looks like he did. You know, he didn't care at all, honestly.
No.
But of course, you know, it takes like 6 weeks to get there, which is like a year when you're a kid.
What the hell did you win from the Connecticut Leather Company?
But yeah, no kidding. I thought Coleco was like from Japan or something.
Yeah.
But every game was by Nintendo, by the way, it seemed like.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I remember getting it. It was on the porch, like when I came home from school, and I was like, "Oh my God!" You know, and we hooked it up.
I got it.
I played ColecoVision like all night, and until finally, I started fighting with Vanessa over it. Like she's like, "It's my turn."
Yeah.
Of course, I'm like, no, it's not your turn. It's my system. My dad's like, all right, you got to turn it off.
I won this, bitch.
And I remember when I finally got some games, we went to like a swap meet and I got like Donkey Kong Jr. like really cheap. It was probably a knockoff.
As long as it wasn't Donkey Kong Jr. math.
No, it wasn't, but that was exciting. So I'm thinking like, hey, when I was 10, I won a Coleco. Why can't I win a PlayStation 4 now?
Absolutely.
You know what's funny is you and
that,
I have been...
That luck never fades.
That's right, damn it. It can happen. I don't even know... When I tell Emma that story, she asks me sometimes, tell me that time you won that game again. And I tell her the story and she's just like, wow. There's something about like... When you're a kid and winning something, it's like unbelievable.
Absolutely. I can't even tell you how the daydreams I would have in elementary school of winning that toy run that Nickelodeon would do.
Yeah.
My whole dream was I just want to get in that room where they keep all the games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That special room where you take the ticket and you take it to the checkout and they staple the receipt to the ticket. And then you take the ticket to the window and you give them the ticket.
It's like so official.
Give you the game.
Awesome. Now, Bill, I want to play you this clip. Last week on the PlayStation 4 launched on Friday, and we've been watching these. I've been watching the Revision 3 cover the launches.
I've liked their coverage.
I do, too. I've enjoyed it. They send this man and this woman out to interview people in line, and this is just a funny part at the PS4 launch. There was, like, way more people at the PS4 launch.
PS4 launch was sort of insane.
Yeah, way more people and stuff. Now, let's check this out.
I'm going to talk to the first person in line right now. Are you the first person in line?
First person in line.
How long have you been here?
Close to 22 hours.
22 hours?
22 hours?
Almost a full day.
Have you never heard of Amazon.com?
I did, but not 6 months prior to this.
All right, what are you most excited for with the PS4?
The most thing I'm excited for is the next generation graphics. That's what I'm looking forward to. See how it looks in true HD. I'm looking forward to that.
What game are you playing?
True HD, mofo.
Killzone.
Killzone?
First game.
Yeah?
What made you want to be one of the first people to get a PS4?
Well, we're into PS4. Like, we're into PlayStation, basically. And we like to play a lot with our friends.
A lot?
So, what's the first thing you're going to do when you unbox your console?
Hook it up and play. Hook it up.
No, you know what I would do when I was a kid when I get something like that? Read the box.
Well, sit there normally the on box. The back of the box, they would have pictures of all the different games.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Did the PS4 come with a demo disc?
No.
What? Come on.
No demo disc.
Oh, or even a upcoming game disc?
You would have saw it in the unboxing video I gave you. You saw everything. I opened it right there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess in this day and age, everything's hooked up to the internet. If you want to see a demo or something, you just go on to the PlayStation Store.
Right, you just have to go buy Electronic Gaming Monthly and get the demo disc out of the magazine.
Yeah, I love those. When you get those with the PlayStation, you could get those.
Yeah, I remember the Xbox magazine had them too. I've found those in boxes as I'm still going through stuff.
Yeah, those things, they just collect in different places. Now I want to play the Xbox One launch a week later, which was last night. Let's check this out.
It's a much different scene than it was last week. If you remember last week at this very location, it was filled with hundreds of people.
Music, DJs, dancing.
Everyone was having a great time. Tonight, about 20 or 30. But it doesn't matter because Kevin is here. And Kevin, how long have you been standing in line?
No, since 7:30 a.m.
No.
Oh, whoa.
Wow. What game are you looking forward to playing?
Call of Duty Ghosts.
Okay.
And Madden 25.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Can you name for me four other games for the Xbox One that are not Battlefield or Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
No cheating.
No cheating.
So, we got Assassin's Creed.
Okay, I said you can't say Assassin's Creed.
Okay. Can't say that. Okay, so we got Killer Instinct.
Yes, that's one.
Zelda.
I'll give that to you because that is a game that's coming out tonight. Yes, okay, yeah, I'll get back here.
It's like,
you can't.
What?
The funny thing is, like, he gives that guy a game. He goes, he gave it to the girl behind him, wasn't it? but he was giving away Zumba Fitness. He goes,
no, he gave it to the kid. The girl behind me, he was going to ask her to leave the line for a sealed PS4.
Yeah, it was a PS4 box, and he goes, I will give this to you if you decide to just leave the line now. She goes, okay. And it's empty. It's
an empty box.
I thought that was pretty funny. It's like, wait, this is really light. That's because it's empty. Yeah,
they were trying so hard to make it interesting, and it just... It was honestly, what they were saying there is so true, because yesterday I went to Best Buy, because there's a couple things I wanted to pick up. You know, The World's End came out on Blu-ray this past Tuesday. So it's like, I need to go pick it up. And luckily, they had the edition with all three films of the Cornetto trilogy. So I picked that up, and as I'm going in, there's only one person sitting there. And I'm like, huh, only one person. So as I'm leaving, I stop, and I see that the one person has a Best Buy jacket on. And I'm like, did they give you that jacket? And she's like, no, I work here. And I was like, wait, you work here and you're in line for the Xbox One? She goes, no, I'm the line monitor. I said, but there's no one here. She goes, yep, we got calls that people were coming. I was like, yep, okay. When I went there the day before the PS4 launch to pick up another controller, because I knew mine was already on the way, there was like 5-6 people deep. And yeah, it's strange.
I understand, like, you stand in line if you haven't reserved a console and you just want to try to get one, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Why but there else
were people in line that actually had it pre-ordered.
Yeah, if it's pre-ordered, you're just waiting for them to open so you can go buy it, right?
You don't need to stand in line if you have it pre-ordered.
That's what I'm wondering, because they're not going to sell the copy that you pre-ordered.
Exactly. Just show up at midnight and pick it up. Why are you standing there?
Right, like that guy said, I've been here since 7:30 a.m. Why? Because he didn't reserve a copy, I guess?
He doesn't have a job.
That must be it. Wow. So, basically...
And he thought Zelda was coming out for the Xbox.
Yeah, what the hell?
He got a big gamer there.
So, I'm going to ask you this. It's okay to wait right now. Nobody needs to go out and buy these right now, right?
No, not at all. Especially after all the reviews finally come out. And there's a lot of stuff saying... Killzone Shadowfall is gorgeous, but a little repetitive.
Nothing's a must-have.
Yeah, there's not a single game out that's a must-buy. The best game that Xbox One has is Forza. And if you're not really a racing game fan, why bother? In fact, last night during the Spike launch, they didn't talk about a single game that you could buy right then and there. Everything was, look what's coming out.
Right. It was like, these will be out in the year. It's like, wait, no. What about if I buy one tonight? What do I get? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, there was like, they kept showing Quantum Break. They kept showing Titanfall.
Hook it up to your TV cable box instead.
Yeah, that was the big thing they were pushing was the Xbox TV. And
they were like, it's not backwards compatible with an Xbox, but you can hook an Xbox up to your Xbox One.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have two systems hooked up? What?
Why not?
That's so screwy. All right, Bill, let's go ahead and move on from this. But it's exciting when games launch, and let's play some voicemail now. What do you say?
All right.
Our first voicemail is from Hannah. Hi, Hannah. Let's check it out.
Hi, guys. It's Hannah speaking. Just calling to give you a little bit of feedback for your latest episode. Just wanted to tell you I've been to see Gravity. Absolutely adored it. Mike and I watched it at the 3D giant screen in Birmingham. Really, really great experience. And I'm pleased I saw it on a screen that huge. The only thing I thought was it would have been a great film for 48 frames per second, and would be really interested to see if that was ever discussed with that film. Also bought The Hobbit Extended Edition on iTunes just recently. If you have a spare 9 hours, I would absolutely recommend watching the extras on filming and production. just some really great insight and quite interesting to see the challenges they faced with filming this as opposed to Lord of the Rings, which wasn't in 3D, and lots of perspective issues they had with Gandalf and the dwarves and all that kind of stuff. Definitely worth a watch. I hope the three of you are well and looking forward to listening to the latest show. See you later.
Thank you, Hannah. I hope we don't bore you with our hour of console talk.
Yeah. Steven's fine because he's actually flying from Hawaii.
Yeah, he had a great week.
I don't care if you're working in Hawaii, you're in Hawaii. So
We talked about Gravity before. It's an awesome movie, and that is interesting. Can you imagine it in the high frame rate?
That would have been fantastic.
That would have been. It would have felt like you're watching a documentary or something.
That probably would have actually made people ill. That's probably why they didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering now, like when The Hobbit Desolation of Smaug comes out, the theater that I saw it at, you know, I had to drive quite a ways to go see that. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, do I just see it next to my house this time, or do I drive out to that theater again?
A lot of those theaters, you have to look now. A lot of theaters have upgraded to the high frame rate. Even the dirt mall theater that I go to a lot now has high frame rate.
I'm hoping the one next to my house does, the XD theater.
I bet it does.
The last film I saw there was Thor.
What's the theater that is next to your house?
The Cinemark Mansfield Theater in XD. It's an XD theater, Cinemark.
All right. I'm going to look it up as you talk.
Okay. Well, I saw Thor there most recently.
Thor!
I'm Thor! And have you seen Thor yet?
No!
I thought it was a lot of fun. I've
been so freaking busy with shit that I haven't been able to see anything I want.
Well,
It's been pissing me off.
I enjoyed the first Thor movie, but my main problem was that this movie exists to introduce Thor so he can be in Avengers. It didn't feel like a real kind of story, you know? And this feels more like a story. It takes place mostly in Asgard. And, you know, it's got Loki in it again because everyone loves Loki. And he is good. That guy is great as Loki.
Tom Hiddleston is fantastic.
And it takes place on Asgard, and I liked, you know, the pew-pewing lasers and stuff of the aliens. They're like dark elves, and they have lasers built. It's pretty cool.
Pew-pews are the best.
Pew-pew-pew! And I thought it was a lot of fun. The whole final act of the film is a lot of fun. I thought the original Thor was very anticlimactic.
It was.
And
yes, the Cinemark 12 Mansfield XD now has HFR, so there's a little HFR tag next to it. So
are
it does.
You effing kidding me, yo?
Yep.
Oh, you are kidding me, or no?
No, it's right there.
Sweet. So they've upgraded this shit.
3D and HFR tag right there. So it's got it.
I've grown to love that theater because it's the only one I go to. But
that's the one we went to, right, to see. Oz Great and Powerful.
Yep, we saw Oz Great and Powerful.
It's right down from the Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's got that nice giant screen.
Yeah, that XD screen is just fantastic.
Yeah, and I know one of the employees there because he's the parent of one of Emma's, you know, co-student. Wait, what would you say?
Co-students.
Kid in her class.
Yes. There you
go. So anyway, yeah. So anyway, a couple of times I've been in line, I've seen people I've known from the past. It is kind of weird.
That's creepy.
And one time,
it's also strange how they make you go in sections. I remember that.
Yeah, there's section A, B, C, whatever. I always try to get in section A.
Yes.
And if you're a little late, you'll get stuck in C. And I always like to sit top row center, and I hate it if I don't get that spot. But there's been several times where someone will go, Jason? And I'll turn around and go, huh?
I'm Bob.
And last time when we went to see Thor, I met an old coworker that I used to work in the frame shop with. And that was kind of funny. Steven goes, don't turn around. And I turned around and it was this guy, Brent, we knew. And we immediately just started talking about old times at the store. And
doesn't Steven know you don't say don't turn around?
Yeah, and he says it loud enough for the person to hear, too, by the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Steven's one of those people where he thinks he's being subtle, but he's saying it really loud. But
it's like, I have no inner monologue. Yeah. Don't turn around.
But he might have been saying it just for Brent, because he maybe Brent was going to sneak up on me and do one of those guess who or something. I don't know. But I'm glad he didn't do that. Don't you hate when people do shit like that?
Can't stand it.
But anyway, it was fun reminiscing. And here's the thing. We go in, Steven and I, we go to the top row center, and I see him. He's with his wife and their kids and some of their friends. I think he had like five kids with him. They go to the front row. And I'm like, what the hell? And when I went down to get a Coke, and I took Emma too, by the way. When I went down to get a Coke, I go, yeah, what's with the front row, dude? And he just kind of laughed like, yeah, you know, or whatever. And I was like,
shit.
I figured they just need to be close to the restroom or something. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
But I enjoyed Thor, and I hope you get a chance to see it in 3D. I don't think the 3D.
You know what? No,
honestly.
I was going to go to the IMAX 3D, but I, from what I'm hearing, my sister saw it in IMAX 3D, and she goes, "That was some of the worst 3D I ever saw." And I was like, "Well, that's because it wasn't really 3D. It was just
I don't know about that. It's not bad 3D. It's
she
just
said
not
it
necessary.
Was worse than Avengers 3D, and the Avengers 3D was pretty pop-up booky.
It honestly, I would say if it's bad, if it bothered me, and it didn't bother me at all.
Okay, my seriously. Sister's picky, so it yeah. you know, it's. I think it's because it was their first IMAX movie, and she expected more.
Yeah, you want to be like, wowed. I'm going to say
yeah,
it's
said
not
the
necessary.
Opening to the IMAX was cooler, like the 3D, because they take you through like the 4-3-2-1 circles and all that. And
yeah,
she said that was the best thing.
Yeah, they really need to start filming those Marvel movies in 3D. You know,
yeah, get them a director,
get them a freaking 3D camera or something. But
a lot of times the directors just don't know how to direct in stereo. Like they don't, they don't know how to play with that. They plus it was the guy Alan Taylor, the guy from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So maybe he just wasn't comfortable with it, and they're like, you know what, just do the movie. We'll handle the 3D later.
He did an excellent job.
That's good.
He did a great job. And the new Hunger Games came out today, Bill.
Yeah, I really don't have any interest. Well, I mean, I love Jennifer Lawrence. I have a major crush on her. She's just, she seems funny and flighty and just goofy. And when you're that attractive and you're like that, it's like that's dream girl territory for me. So
well, she's also a great actress.
She's an amazing actress. I remember when I first saw her in Winter's Bone, I was just blown away. She was fantastic.
Well, that's they got for the sequel to Hunger Games. The first guy they got is a guy who did Pleasantville. He didn't really.
Oh God,
he didn't do that kind of material, and there was a lot of shaky cam. And usually, I don't mind shaky cam, but the camera shook for no reason. I thought
yeah,
that
was so bad. I remember watching it, going, "God damn, this is irritating."
But for this movie, they got Francis Lawrence, I believe, the guy who did Transporter and did the Hulk, the Incredible.
Didn't he
Hulk.
Do Constantine?
Possibly. I don't remember. But he can do this material. And from what I've read, the action sequences and stuff are really good. And he can handle that shit. Oh, he did Clash of the Titans, the first
one. He did Constantine. And he did I Am Legend.
He can do action scenes, basically.
Yes, he can.
And apparently this movie's exciting. So, I mean, if I get a chance, I'll see it. I didn't
read the
book.
He was good enough that they locked him down for the last film that's two parts, Mockingjay 1 and 2. So.
Yeah, that's so funny how they do that. Like, yeah, it needs to be two movies.
Yeah, like, didn't they do that with the Deathly Hollows, the last
Harry
Potter?
They did it with the Twilight movie, too. They're like, no, we need to milk two movies out of this because we make more money that way. That's what they do.
Catching Fire looks like more of a film. I mean, you got Philip Seymour Hoffman, you got Donald Sutherland finally chewing the scenery, and I'm not going to rush out to see it, but I might take it in. I'm not a huge fan of that world in general. Like, I didn't care for the books.
I only read one of the books. I started the second one, but lost interest. But
I listened to all three of them.
Let's face it, though, Bill.
Remember what I was doing, but you said read the first one. I was like, I didn't really want to commit to reading it, so I listened to them. And they were fine. I mean, they're fine entertainment, but really, I just didn't connect with it at all.
Right. What the one thing I was excited about is that it's basically dystopian. It's science fiction, but it's for
yeah. And you would think I would love it because those are my categories. Those are my bread and butter. Dystopian sci-fi.
But it's like dystopian science fiction for teenage girls. And yes. You know, girls love Katniss. Perfect. They love the character of Katniss and stuff, which is great. That's fine. I honestly want to see Frozen, the Disney movie.
And, it looks funny. It looks cute.
I like seeing movies like that with Emma, so that's how lame I am. I'm not lame, and I love seeing those movies, Bill, right?
The one movie that I really want to go see is About Time, but I can't find it anywhere around me.
Richard
Curtis movie.
I forgot about that. I do want to see that really bad.
How did you forget about that?
Too long. Now your candy's gone. That's what happened. Pugow!
Do you know what that's from? It's from A Bee and Puppy Cat. It's the same people who do Adventure Time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This lady who has this strange puppy cat. It's half dog, half cat, I guess. And it has magical powers. It's very strange.
So it's not that talking about.
It's a lot of fun. It's only on YouTube, I believe.
Okay. I think the next, November 29th, you have Frozen, you have the Spike Lee's Old Boy, which I'm hesitant.
That's very interesting. I can already tell things they've changed just from the trailer.
Yeah.
And interesting. I don't
know. And it's got Charlton Copley in it, though, and I'm wondering who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the
he's the guy, I think.
He's the guy, huh? Because
I've seen him swimming in a pool, and he looks kind of effeminate, or I don't know. So
yeah, and there's Homefront, the book based on that whole series of books, and Stallone adapted it.
No, I knew Stallone wrote the screenplay, but I had no idea it was based on books.
Yeah, it's based on a series of books that sounds a lot like kind of the Lee Child Jack Reacher character.
That's what... Okay, now I remember you told me, because we had been talking about how Jason Statham had played Parker, which was this character in literature, in books, you know, these pulp novels, which have been adapted a million times, like all these times, but the author never let them use the name Parker. So he would have the name Porter... Like in Payback?
Yeah, Payback.
Or he'd have the name Tucker or something.
But that was the first book, I believe, that was ever written in that series.
So
that they adapted the Payback.
If you go and look on Wikipedia at Parker novels, you'll see all these descriptions. You'll go, wait, I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
And then you'll see...
Oh, and Lee Marvin, Point Blank, was also... Payback.
So there have been all these movies based on Parker, but they never had the name Parker. And finally, the author, I believe, died. And so they were like, hey, we can use Parker. And so Jason Statham was Parker. But now he's playing this other character in Homefront that's been from books.
So Chuck Logan is the guy that wrote these books.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter's Moon. It's the character's Phil Broker. Ex-Minnesota police officer. And it's because that's what Jack Reacher is. He's an ex-military policeman.
Uh-huh.
So it's – and he's kind of got that swagger, badassness, writing wrongs, moving from place to place.
You don't
so
mess with that guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's essentially what this is. And I'm sure they changed it to be ex Special Forces and Her Majesty's Secret Service or something, because Jason Statham can't do...
Here's what it used to be, Bill. They used to always be ex-Navy SEALs, but now what they are is they're ex-snipers from Afghanistan. They're an ex-Army Ranger. I was a sniper in Afghanistan.
Ex-Delta Force.
Yeah. But it used to always be Navy SEALs, but now they've moved on from that. So you're an Army Ranger.
I'm surprised the Navy SEAL thing isn't making a comeback with the whole SEAL Team 6 shit.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
But this movie, I watched the trailer, and it has a bit of cheese in it, but it also looks very entertaining, too.
Oh, it's definitely got the touch of Stallone fromage.
Yeah, it's got, you know, the little girl is threatened and the badass dad, you know.
Even the dialogue, and... I'm sorry, but I just James Franco as a hillbilly meth kingpin.
I like Kate Bosworth and Winona Ryder as his skanky girlfriends.
Yes,
or something.
Yeah.
That was great.
You know what? Jason Statham could kick James Franco 100 yards. It just doesn't make sense.
He could snap him in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Jason Statham's one of those actors. Like, dude, I'll watch that guy make any movie, like even bad.
I don't
movies.
Care how bad it is. He's man.
Always good. And what's so funny is he's this balding dude, but it doesn't matter. He looks
good.
It
doesn't matter. In fact, it makes him tougher. Yeah. Like his hair is even afraid of him.
I mean, I honestly think Parker was a fun movie because of him. You know,
does that have Jennifer Lopez in it?
Yes, and her character
hit for me. Like, I can't stand her.
I don't understand why she's in it. Her character, I don't understand.
I don't understand why.
If you watch it, she's not the love interest. She's just in the movie, and it's kind of strange.
All right.
But anyway, Bill, we've been doing the show an hour, so what do you say we get into What's on a TiVo?
Let's do that.
All right, woohoo! Let's do What's on a TiVo!
Okay, well, let's...
Hey, Daffy. Okay, well, Daffy was going a little nuts there, Bill. Like he does.
Daffy's known for that.
Yeah, so let's talk about one show, and then let's take a break.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Top Chef. When we come back, we're going to talk about Almost Human, which is an exciting new Fox show, which we were really excited about.
It is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Top Chef. They're in Nolens, Bill.
Nolens.
Now, I'm curious, because everyone says it different. Like, in your regular everyday speak, do you say New Orleans?
Yes, of course, New Orleans.
Or do you say Nolens?
No, I would never be caught dead saying Nolens.
Nolens?
It's just not going to happen.
Like, I would say New Orleans.
Yeah, I say New Orleans. Like I don't pronounce the E. I don't think I'm sure you should, but I just don't.
But I think I do say Nolens or something like that. I've actually been to New Orleans, for my sister Laura's wedding took place.
Oh, wow.
And
did you run into any vampires?
No, I didn't. All I did was run into
voodoo priestesses.
Humidity, Bill. Lots of humidity.
I bet you it stinks. Does it stink?
There's certain streets that do smell bad.
Yeah.
Mainly Bourbon Street smells awful.
Bourbon Street probably smells like vomit.
It smells like vomit.
Alcohol.
Yeah, because everyone's drinking, spilling their drinks, vomiting, stuff like that. So,
yeah, but like the rotten, place, sugary kind of, ugh.
Here's what you get when you're there. A lot of beautiful buildings.
Yes, of course.
And a lot of poverty. You see homeless people everywhere. You see homeless teenagers. That's how bad it is. Like,
yeah, that's
homeless kids and stuff.
That's pretty typical of the area.
And so, meanwhile, you got to walk everywhere because there's no way you're going to drive around on the streets and
get mugged.
You go to eat food like crawdads and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, boys.
One of those famous musicians there, his name is Dr. John, Bill.
Yes, the right place, right time guy.
Yes, I could see him playing like a character in a Disney cartoon, playing a piano or something.
Yes,
maybe voicing a cricket or something. I don't know.
Possibly.
Well, he did the Top Chef. Damn it! What is that called? The quickfire. Quickfire. Yes.
And I bet you couldn't understand a single word he said.
He wants them to make some salsa.
He mumbles, stumbles, do everything.
Let's go ahead and play this. And as he talks to him, and I swear Padma doesn't understand a word he's saying either.
No, of course not.
So let's check this out.
For today's quickfire, you will not be making a dish. Instead, you'll be making the complex sauce that's common in the South, but found all over the world. It's one of Dr. John's all-time favorite condiments. Hot sauce.
I know y'all gonna do a hip maneuver.
Hip maneuver.
Hot sauce is so revered in the South that they rarely have a meal without it.
I can dig that flavor and hip tang to it.
Hip tang, you know, what does hip tang mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a whole new measurement of acid levels in hot sauce. Hip tang.
If it has flavonosity of the highest order, and it has tangnosity that mixes in.
Oh, he's toasted.
When I hit it, can't quit it.
Chefs, you have 45 minutes.
Even they don't know how to react.
Girl, just kind of laughing like, okay.
Tell us about your hot sauce.
I wanted to build a sauce where it'd be versatile on fish, meat, or vegetables. The base is jalapeno and serrano, lime juice, and yuzu juice.
Do you have any preference over hot sauce colors?
Hip-tang. That's my main thing I'm looking for.
Hip-tang, Bill.
I understand. So is your hip-tang from the yuzu?
I don't know. I'm confused. You know, I'm bedazzled myself.
It tastes like my bad hip.
And that's a hip thing.
I think that means he likes it.
Thank you very much.
This hot sauce is habanero, serranos, fresno chili, ginger, and sweetened with a little bit pineapple.
Wow. It's off the hook, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I live in a Trinidadian way. I use habaneros, also green mango.
It's hot.
Mm-hmm. It hits you first, but do you leave you with that tang, though? That's the one thing I'm wondering about.
Thank you.
What I did was I actually smoked apricots and then cooked them in a cider vinegar with coffee.
Good little hip tang.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
What do you think of the anchovies?
I'm kind of digging that.
You dig the anchovies?
Yeah.
Hip tang, dude.
Thank you.
I think that's a good sign of creation, Aries.
Okay, Dr. John.
Creationaries? He's like Buddy Valastro. He's making them work.
I got to give all of y'all props for the little bit of time y'all had to work with to come up with some of them interesting hot sauces.
Which hot sauces did you like the least?
Mikkel's, it kind of was sweet sour maneuver. Not what I was looking for in a hot sauce.
Somebody just punched him in the throat.
Yeah, he had that overly hot. It was kind of Trinidadly, over-the-edge hot.
How could you have hot sauce and not like it hot? It's a hot sauce challenge.
Okay, don't get defensive. Hey, that's Dr.
Calm
John.
Down with your attitudery.
Yeah, he just makes up words. Last week they had Kermit, the trumpet player or whatever.
Yes.
You didn't understand a word he said either.
No.
So they have these musicians
different
on.
Language.
They have all these musicians on every week, and you don't understand a word they're saying.
On a hip shot, to my gosh.
All I know is that all these people have been on Treme, the show
and
on HBO.
And they've all been on drugs that have scrambled their brains.
Yeah. I mean, even Tom Colicchio has been on Treme, so that's like a...
Didn't Anthony Bourdain write the Treme kitchen scenes
or something?
They
pay a lot of service to the restaurant industry on that show, and they have all these different... all these different chefs have appeared from time to time.
That's impressive.
It's a fun... I really love Treme. That's a good show.
I've never watched it, and I always get shit for not watching it, because... Like, how you not watch Treme? It's like, I'm sorry, I haven't watched Treme.
It's the same guy who did The Wire. So, yeah, it's that same kind of structure. And season 3, even nobody watches it. It doesn't get very good ratings. But season 3 was approved by HBO, but they only gave them 5 episodes.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're going to finish out the story in 5 episodes, basically. So, I'm excited about it. Well, Bill... Top Chef, that was Top Chef. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and talk about Almost Human. What do you say?
All right.
It'll be awesome. All right, everyone. We'll be right back.
I'm kind of digging that. Genesis
Dutch. 16-bit arcade graphics.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis Dutch.
16-bit sports action.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis
Dutch.
Genesis
Dutch.
Joe
Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free. What Nintendo don't. Buy a 16-bit Genesis system between now and October 31st and get an extra game.
Across America, dollar medicine pies are disappearing from store shelves. Why? We're switching now to Jane.
Thanks, Dan. Sir, why is everyone buying up these pies? Is it their yummy filling?
Yes. He's right, Jane.
But mainly it's because of Dolly Madison Pies instant winner sweepstakes.
Oh?
You can instantly win the grand prize jukebox with 100 records, a color TV, a Snoopy phone, or a Snoopy pin.
That's why these pies are disappearing. Back to Dan.
I won! I won!
Dan?
I won!
Dan!
Thanks again, boys, and keep the change. You hear all this nonsense about Kellogg's Frosted Flakes being just for kids. Well, I, for one, eat them, and I'm going to go right on eating them. Frosted Flakes just for kids, come on. Like we adults have to go sneaking around, like we can't love these crisp, sweet flakes just as much as kids. Mm. Who is it?
You just have to admit it. Frosted Flakes have the taste adults have grown to love. They're great.
Here's a lighter way of life in America. Wonder Light.
Have you tasted the lighter slice of America? Wonder Light is just 40 calories a full-size slice.
It's the lightest slice of America. Wonder Light.
You wouldn't feed this baby grown-up food, so why feed it to this baby? Feed him puppy food. Purina Puppy Chow brand puppy food with the extra nutrition a growing puppy needs. Puppy Chow. Doesn't your baby deserve it?
There are three nevers to getting older in Hollywood. Never audition first thing in the morning. Never try to play a character half your age. And even if your leading man is prettier than you are, never, never let him see you sweat.
When the spotlight's on, no other solid keeps you drier than Dry Idea Solid.
Believe me, Dry Idea handles sweat a whole lot better than some people handle birthdays.
Dry Idea, never let them see you sweat.
There's nothing like Pizza Hut pan pizza.
Making it big, making it tall, making it splash in heaven at all. Making it heat, making it deep. Sizzle and drizzle, steam and steam and making it early.
The great taste of pan pizza. Two layers of cheese, lots of toppings, and a chewy crust. It's America's favorite.
Pizza Hut, make it great.
Tuesday on Matlock, it takes two to tango.
That's pretty fancy footwork.
But when a dancer is murdered, guess who swings into action?
I think I'm on to something.
Matlock. Then on Hunter, a Skid Row slaying turns to terror.
You haven't seen enough yet, buddy.
When a helpless witness,
it's him,
becomes a killer's target. Hunter. And on Crime Story, an exotic woman needs an exceptional cop.
Would you help me, Mr. Toretto?
Will he fall in love or into a trap?
You're asking a great deal.
I'm offering a great deal. Crime Story, Tuesday.
This will drive him crazy, but it's for his own good.
I threw out all junk food.
He has no self-control.
I'm marrying a health nut.
I did get him something sweet.
Now there's a Nutri-Grain for between meals, with no added sugar, just delicious fruit fillings and whole grain goodness.
Can you stand all this love and attention?
I could get used to it.
Kellogg's Nutri-Grain bars, the taste of how much you care.
I do have flight 139 leaving in 20 minutes, but only in first class.
I'll take it. Okay, they're calling my flight. I'll be there. Not this much.
No, it just started.
Where is she?
The second potted plant from the left.
Coming through when you need it most. Membership has its privileges.
Why is this man still up with his cold? Sniffling through tissue after tissue. Losing count of his coughs and sneezes. Why is he wrestling with aches and pains? Suffering instead of resting. Why? Because he's been waiting for something new. New cherry flavor NyQuil. The great tasting, nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head fever so he can rest medicine. In original or new cherry flavor.
I'm home.
Hi, Mom.
Is your brother home yet?
He's upstairs. He says he feels yucky.
Bobby?
He ate a bunch of junk after school. The kid eats like a maniac.
Oh, I feel yucky.
I've got just what you need.
Here it comes. The soothing relief of Pepto-Bismol. The one that coats is the only one you need.
Feeling better?
What time's dinner?
Maniac.
My sister recommended Preparation H for my hemorrhoidal symptoms. Why should I listen to my sister? because she's also a doctor.
In a national survey, 2 out of 3 doctors named Preparation H among the hemorrhoid remedies they recommended to their patients.
Doctors know best.
With so much on my mind, I just never looked, so I didn't know Alpo caused the same as other dries. Now I know.
Alpo beef-flavored dinner, more meat protein than 10 pounds of steak at a really good price.
Don't worry. You'll always be my first baby.
Are you one of us? 16-bit graphics, or one of them? 8-bit. Us. CD game sound. Them? Not. Us. Them. Us. Turbo Express Portable. Buy TurboGrafx-16 now and get 1 of 38 selected games free.
A fun factory. Let's have a Play-Doh party.
Yeah.
A shooting star.
You can have a Play-Doh party anytime with the Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti. Fire. Make a hose.
No, it's a snake.
I want your spaghetti.
He got the spaghetti.
By yourself or with the gang, you can have a Play-Doh party.
It's fun.
The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here. From Kenner.
Hi there. I just got an idea how to make Chuck E. Cheese's better than ever. Brand new pizza. Genius, if I do say so myself. Popping with new natural toppings. All with lots of sauces and plenty of cheese. So while you're having fun rolling and winning, jumping and spinning, and laughing and grinning, we're in the kitchen making the best pizza in town. Chuck E. Cheese's is better than ever. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Will you be the one to witness the birth of the incredible Nintendo Entertainment System? The one to play with Rob, the extraordinary video robot, batteries not included. He helps you tackle even the toughest challenge. Will you be the first to raise the incredibly accurate Zapper and play games like Duck Hunt or action-packed Hogan's Alley and high-flying Kung Fu, each sold separately? Will you be the one to experience the Nintendo Entertainment System? Comes with Rob, Zapper, Control Deck, 2 controllers, Gyromite, and Duck Hunt.
Once again, Denny's Grand Slam Breakfast is at the remarkably low price of $1.99. And just look at all you get. 2 large fresh eggs, 2 juicy sausage legs, 2 strips of sizzling bacon, and 2 pancakes with hot syrup and butter. The Grand Slam Breakfast, once again at the remarkably low price of $1.99 this month at Denny's, where you'll like our prices and you'll love our food 24 hours a day.
Up to the hot taste of Kellogg's Pop Tarts.
Yeah, they're cool, so cool with that. Pop Tarts popping up, they pop, pop, pop. But taste so cool inside their hat. Taste the real fruit, so pop, 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 pop.
Real fruit fillings give Pop Tarts an incredible taste. So hot, they're cool.
Larry. Look, before you develop some whole big list of expectations from me, let me just spell out how it is. This is what I wear. Nothing important, but that's fine because I'm not a professional male model. I'm also not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, not a banker, not a CPA. I am a salesperson at a record store. Therefore, if you want to go out with me, we will not be going to any restaurant which refers to itself as a bistro, casa, and maison. We will be going to McDonald's. Afterwards, we'll catch a movie. Not a play, not the opera, not the symphony, not the ballet. It'll be me, McDonald's, movie, think it over, or I'll be out in my car. My plane will just find car.
Larry, McDonald's and a movie? Sounds great.
You know the one, McDonald's.
Well, just so you know, it's just a date, not a commitment, not a proposal, just a date.
Oh, no, not Daffy again.
Well, at least it's not Daffy and Donald in pianos. Looked like a typical low-life character to me.
I love that scene in Roger Rabbit.
It's probably my favorite scene.
I want to play that on the piano.
That's a hell of a piano you have there.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Rocking.
All right, let's talk about Almost Human. Okay, first of all, it's a sci-fi show on Fox, which we love. We love sci-fi, right?
Yes.
It's also J.H. Wyman, the guy who ran Fringe, one of our favorite shows of the past, you know, decade, right?
Excellent pedigree, yeah.
We love that. And so he sold the show with J.J. Abrams about a near future.
Okay.
Is it near or a distant future?
I think it's more distant.
Yeah.
Is this like 2136 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Where robotics are pretty prominent now. And cops, because of corruption and stuff like that, they basically have partners that are androids. And mainly, not only are they the partner and they can help out and stuff, they also kind of keep an eye on them to make sure they don't cross the line and stuff. That's what the feeling I get.
Yeah, it's obviously that they're used as a surveillance tool also.
Right. I mean, they basically you have an instant internet connectivity, and you can ask them anything, and they could come up with the answer right away, any kind of information you'll need. And when the show starts, we know that the current models that are out are basically they don't play any – they play by the rules, and they don't veer off on any they're on rails, basically.
They're very militarized.
Yeah, they don't have senses of humor or anything. They just do their job and they're there. The character of Dorian, who is the model that Carl Urban gets, is the old model, which had too much emotion.
Yes.
They made
it was too human.
Too human, and would actually it had a temperament, basically. And I guess that was dangerous, so they outdated the model, and now they have this new version. But that version didn't work well with John Kinnick's, which is Carl Urban's character. And that was a great scene in the pilot, where he throws the robot out the door of the car.
Yes.
That was great.
That was excellent.
And basically, you know, they have to set up the central kind of mystery that'll span episodes, which is his team was ambushed and they all died except for him, and he lost a leg, and he's trying to find out how they knew.
Yeah, he's damaged goods physically and mentally at this point.
Didn't they say he has PTSD and OCD and all these other things?
Yeah, he's majorly mentally screwed up.
Right. And the thing that works with a show like this is when the characters play off each other. And they do a great job of Carl Urban and what's the guy's name? Michael Ealy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do a great job of playing off each other.
They have wonderful chemistry together. And I don't know if it's in part to the writing, but also it has to do something with the chemistry. But it's totally believable. I'm empathetic towards a robot, and I'm empathetic towards kind of an asshole. I mean, Carl Urban plays an asshole.
Yeah, and that's the thing. At first he hates him. He doesn't want to have anything to do with him. But then when he figures out he's more like him in a way, mm-hmm. they're both kind of like damaged goods type of people, that he admires him more.
Yeah, there's a wonderful moment in the second episode where they've kind of warmed up to one another. And these young children come up to Durian and they're like, "Whoa, are you a bot?" And he's like, "I am." And he goes, "What can you do?" And he kind of shows them the processing mode on the side of his head. And they're like, "Awesome."
Yeah.
And
like glows. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they go to, Urban's character. What was his name again?
John Kinnick.
Yeah. They're like, "What are you a bot?" "No, just a cop." "What can you do?" He takes his knife out and stabs himself in the leg and scares the shit out of the kids.
Yeah, because he's got a
one of those just beautiful moments that encapsulates how disconnected he is.
Yeah, he's got a robotic leg, so he can do anything he wants to it, basically. And it's so funny. They're just like, ah! And he's like, and he just looks at Dorian, and he just like shakes his head like, oh, my God. You know.
Yeah, Dorian has to correct him like, you know that you just scared the shit out of those kids.
That's what I love. And the second episode, I thought, was even better at their kind of like repartee, you know? And
yeah.
He sees that he sees that Kennex is very lonely and needs a woman, basically.
Yes.
So he's like, I sign you onto an online dating site. And he's like, you what? He's like, you need some kind of female companionship. Because the whole thing is about the sex bots. Apparently, there's these very lifelike robots that are women, and there's this whole sex trade thing. It's prostitution, but it's with robots, basically.
But the shocking thing is they're leaving behind human DNA.
Right. So these guys have found a way to take women's skin and, I guess, synthesize it for their androids.
Synthesize everything about them. Muscle tone, skin. They're the top of the line, kind of almost it is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
There cannot exist androids with human DNA.
So when Kennex and Dorian go to talk to the guys who have those elite models, he notices that John is like, wow, kind of like staring too long. And that's the funny thing is he doesn't like robots. You know, they've already determined that, but these are more human-like, and he's a lonely guy, so he's just kind of like staring too long. And there's this great kind of bit in the car where he starts telling John that about his dating profile. And that's what I made a clip of. Let's go ahead and check it out, okay?
Speaking of names, someone just responded to your dating profile, John.
My dating profile? I thought you were kidding.
Not kidding. I saw the way you were looking at those sex bots. Your profile name is Dr. Richard.
Dr. Richard.
Who likes quiche. Long walks on the beach.
You seriously did not call me Dr. Richard.
I thought you wanted to meet someone.
I meet plenty of women. I don't need your help.
I ran a bioscan and it looked like your testicles were at full capacity.
You're scanning my balls?
I didn't enjoy it. I can't help but notice you're backed up.
What is the matter with you? Don't scan my testicles. Ever again.
Copy that.
What does she look like?
What do you want her to look like?
Brown eyes. Soulful.
Height?
Average height. I like brunettes.
Would you date anyone in your profession, or would you prefer to date someone outside of it?
Sure, either way. I like smart women, you know. Women that are smarter than me.
That won't be hard. You are aware that you just described Detective Stahl, right?
Kennex.
Hey, we got a 20 on the silver sedan you posted. I just uploaded it to Dorian.
Okay. Thank you, Detective Stahl. Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Shut up.
Detective Stahl.
Shut it. Zip it.
I like that he can mimic his voice. It doesn't hurt when your coworker's Minka Kelly, does it?
No, and she's still as gorgeous as ever.
I really like the show, and you know what's funny is, when new shows come out, I'll occasionally read reviews of the pilot, and it's so funny, or it's kind of sad, actually, how quick to judgment people are based on the pilot. If you judge a show solely on the pilot, you're really going to miss out, because they call it Almost Human is lifeless. There's no life to Almost Human, which I thought was interesting.
I didn't see that at all. I thought it was so well done with so many calls to classic sci-fi. You know, you have RoboCop in there. You have Blade Runner in there. There's so much of like Asmovian, influence to
there
it all.
There was a lot of heart to that second episode.
And yeah, that second episode was really good.
And, you know, that's what I, you don't write off a show based on the pilot. I'm sorry. Maybe a network does that because they okay the show. But I, as a viewer, am not going to do that. I rarely do. I know a show when I see it, if I want to watch it or not. And yeah. Usually I'll give it a couple of chances. Immediately in the pilot episode, I loved Almost Human. It doesn't hurt that Carl Urban is the star because he's great.
Everyone is good in it. Michael Ealy's fantastic. Mika Kelly, for what she's used for, is good. I love the lab guy they have.
Yeah, the lab guy, he's great. That guy from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. And
I think he's in Game of Thrones, too, isn't he? Or was he?
I don't know. I don't remember him in Game of Thrones. Was he?
But I don't know. But he's one of those guys you've seen in Rudy.
Does he play Rudy?
And I guarantee you, like something like Fringe is like, I think Mika Kelly will probably be in the show even more. They will find a way to expand those characters, you know.
And I love that they didn't go with the typical kind of buddy cop captain by casting Lily Taylor, who's kind of a more understanding.
Yeah, and she's kind of led on. She knows something or something. She tells him that that Dorian is special, just like you, is what she tells him. And he's kind of like, what? You know, let's not forget he was in a coma for how many months?
Yeah, I don't remember, but
it's something like 9 months or something. He was in a coma.
But so, I've been really impressed with it. I mean, you have to look at a show like that and go, obviously, this is an expensive show. It's gorgeous. It's I hope it finds an audience. I'm afraid it won't. I'm always afraid of that on something that I like right away.
I think it's doing pretty good so far.
Okay,
they
good.
They advertise the hell out of it. You know?
Good.
And
it deserves it. I don't understand what people wouldn't like in it.
Yeah, it definitely, it'll have longevity and stuff. And the other thing, it's futuristic, but it's not too far from a future we could possibly see, you know?
Yeah.
They have cars that make kind of futuristic sounds, but, you know, they have, like, the holographic type displays. I love that when they looked at the dead robot cop and his eye showed a holographic image of what they needed to see. Stuff like that is really cool. Just the different future technology they can do. Yeah. Oh, there's a space
and I can't recommend reading Asimov enough, like, because as I'm watching it, I'm thinking of all these moments in even just iRobot, the different stories, and I told you, it's like I was getting like that sense of feeling for a creature, you know, a created being, the same way I did when I was reading that, in particular the first story in the book, Robbie, about basically a robot that's a nanny. And it just, it's really well realized. It's, they know what they're trying to do. And I hope that they have the chance to kind of play out a vast story.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited about it. Now, let's go ahead and talk about The Walking Dead. There's been quite a few episodes since we did a show last. You know what's funny is since the last show we did, the episodes have gotten way better.
Yes, they have.
We did the sick pig episode last.
The sick pig.
Had a sick pig, died quick, that kind of thing. And then we had the episode where Rick takes Carol out into the suburbs.
Yes.
And he basically leaves her there because you find out she's the one who killed the other people.
I had a sick pig. I'd quit.
Yeah, he left her like a bad dog.
Yeah, he's
on the side of the road. Just dumped her off. You tell everyone he left her at a farm.
And there was the cool. I thought I really enjoyed Michonne and Daryl and the others. Tyrese. They went out to that hospital to get the stuff.
I get really tired of Tyrese's character.
Tyrese's
character has become the new Michonne.
He's
or maybe
an
even
angry guy.
Lori. Like, it's just, I get so tired of his character.
Are you talking about how he's like, just is real angry and they can't.
Yeah, just angry and there's like no real motivation or direction. It's just always he's pissy. Even before his girlfriend got killed, he was pissy.
Yeah, he's afraid his sister is going to die, who is his daughter the entire time.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But then they had a very Herschel-centric episode where he was taking care of all the sick people. And I thought that was a really good episode, I thought.
That was, you know, they're starting to concentrate more on the human drama of it instead of the zombie killing.
Yeah,
and that's what I wanted.
That was really good. It's Herschel. He's doing his rounds. And meanwhile, while he's dealing with the sick people and people dying in their cell and reanimating, all of a sudden the fence comes down with just Rick and Carl outside. And I thought that was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
And after that episode, you know, I read like Alan Sepinwall's column and like the comments, and people are like, worst episode ever. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you're telling me that a little kid like Carl can fire a machine gun like that? Ridiculous. Ugh. Fake. I call phony. And I'm like, you're watching a show about zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
People are so weird, Bill. I don't understand.
I don't get people's criticism. The whole show requires a suspension of disbelief.
And you're really going to complain? I guarantee you a kid Carl's age could fire an AR-15 easily.
Yeah, those guns are designed not to have that much kickback. I mean, there's a whole...
They could easily do it. I mean, give me a break.
He's plenty strong. He's not some 7-year-old chump.
Carl
anymore.
Has been firing weapons also. It's not like he's afraid of them. He knows what he's doing. And I love that scene. It was Rick and Carl just mowing them down. And I was wondering what was going to happen with that, but then they cut to it and they're done. They killed all of them. I was like, holy shit, they killed all of them. And they're walking around stabbing them in the head. And I love that. That's the kind of shit I want to see, you know?
Yeah.
I also enjoyed, you know, like the scene where the doctor guy, where, you know, the medic who we already knew was an alcoholic. That was a good surprising scene where you think the zombies are pulling the medicine down in the bag, and then he pulls it up finally, and he's got booze in it.
What an asshole.
He didn't want to drop his booze. And I thought that...
That's dedication.
And I thought Daryl might throw him over, but then
he
I was should've. Like, no, he's not going to do that. Then I thought, oh, he's going to throw his liquor away. No, he just gives it to him.
Yep.
And he's like, if we get back alive, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to pound your ass into the ground, basically. So then, okay, at the end of that episode, I was like, this is probably the most perfect episode of The Walking Dead I've seen. That Herschel one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the camera pans out away from the prison, and then they show the governor standing there.
Ugh.
And I was like... Oh, don't bring Snidely Whiplash back yet. Come on. Yeah. I was like, not ready for this. But then we watched, you know, the episode comes on all about the governor. And I don't know what to expect, honestly. I don't know if he's out there with an army or if he's by himself. If they're going to show that he was the one with the rats at the fence or what. I don't know. Yeah. But then the show starts and it shows how he was quickly abandoned by the two other guys. They, like, left his ass there. You know, they'd had enough of him.
They didn't want to deal with his shit.
Yeah, the episode begins with a walker coming right towards him, or a biter, as he calls it. And he just sits there looking at her, and he doesn't do anything. He's just kind of, like, just chilling. I was waiting for him to just stab her when she gets close, but I'm not even sure if he would have done anything. When that Mexican dude, you know, he shoots the zombie, and then he kind of looks at him like disgusted, like, what the hell, man? So they abandon
him. What's your malfunction?
And one
you were the governor.
One aspect that I always think is very, like, shaky on The Walking Dead is when they do musical montages.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, a song with singing and stuff. One show that does it all the time where I roll my eyes regularly. Do you know what show I'm going to say it is?
No.
They do a musical montage almost every episode, either at the beginning or the end of the episode. And it's like a good 5-minute padding in the show. And that is Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, God, you're right.
And
it's always the worst freaking music.
And yeah, and so when I see it on this show, I'm like, oh, no, they've been watching Sons of Anarchy. But it was okay.
Please don't let Katie Seagal sing this.
So it was okay on this. It was the governor. He's just wandering around. One thing I thought was funny is because he obviously doesn't have much will to live anymore, is the one zombie's right next to him, and he's about to grab him. He just kind of does a little whoop, and the thing falls down.
So funny. Someone made a GIF. There's no way I'm saying GIF. I hate that.
Yeah,
someone made a GIF of him in that scene, but he had a basketball. he's dribbling a basketball and fakes out the zombie. I was cracking up when I saw that.
That is funny. I love GIFs like that. I got to see that. But so he immediately, you know, honestly, do you have any idea where this episode was going when it first started?
No, I didn't. I obviously, you know, they're trying to set up that he's lost the will to live. You know, he's walking around, he looks, stops and looks at that barn, and names are written all over it and contact information, and just, you know, he's kind of coming to the realization that there really kind of is no hope in this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and by the way, he's got this longer hair, and I swear he looks like Snake Plissken in shots.
Yeah, he turned into Snake Plissken or Tom Hanks from Castaway.
Yeah, he's got the long beard, and I'm sorry, but I can spot a fake beard from a mile away.
God, didn't that look bad?
Why even bother? It doesn't look real. Just don't do it, okay?
Make him clean shaven and disheveled.
Show a scene where he has an electric razor in his pocket if you're like, well, he would have long a beard by now. No.
Just one of those Rambo Bowie knives.
I mean, how long would it take that actor to grow some scruff out? Like a week? 2 weeks? Just let him do that. He doesn't need
some guys can't really grow facial hair. I know, you know, mine's patchy at best, so I like to remain clean shaven.
Maybe that was it, or they just didn't have time. I don't know, but
he just needed more testosterone in his system.
But he finds this family. It's a dying old man, his two daughters, and one of their daughters.
I love when he asks for a cigarette and he's on oxygen. That made me laugh out loud.
A cigarette? And I love they explain that the reason they've been living there pretty safely, there's walkers on the other floors, and but their dad drove some kind of truck with was it like Italian food, like canned or like...
Yeah, it was some food service.
Yeah, like he's got like, they said like pizza sticks and like SpaghettiOs and like... They have so much of it, they haven't starved.
It's the ones with meatballs.
Yeah, and there's this part where the lady gives the governor some... or his name now is Brian, he tells
him. Yes, Brian.
He read that name on the side of a building, so he takes the name from the building. The guy's Brian Hatterin or something. But she gives him some SpaghettiOs, and he throws it out because...
I thought it was butter beans.
It was SpaghettiOs, I believe. They were round. Oh. They were little round things. And if they were butter beans, I'd eat some of that. No, I would have eaten SpaghettiOs too when I was a kid.
Yeah, I would have too. You know, they got a good amount of sodium there. You got your carbs.
I just wanted him to go, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. So there's this scene where he's talking to the dad, and I made a clip of that. So let's check this out real quick. By the way, he barely says a word.
Is that a zombie?
You hear them? You got my legs, friend. Tara's been up there a bunch of times, blasting them bastards to pieces. She says they just keep getting back up. I told her, no more. I can't afford to waste her bullets. You got kids? My girls were born. That's when I finally figured out what it was to be a man. You know, a real man. You protect them, you keep them safe, and you just try to make them stronger until they can look out for themselves. But this here, I never counted on this. Hey, I got a buddy, Bill Jenkins. He lives up in 303. He's got a real nice backgammon set up there.
He won't mind, and he keeps it under his bed there. Just... Please. You've been out there in the world, and you know how to handle yourself around those things. Look, I know you might not understand it because you don't got a baby girl of your own, but... might be something that might make my Megan talk again. Please.
What happened to your eye?
It's gone.
Something happened to you? Or were you just born like that?
Something happened to me.
Was that bad to ask?
No.
Some long pauses between...
It's dramatic.
Tell you what happened to my eye, but you have to promise to keep a secret.
I promise.
What's that?
Pinky swear. Plus cross my heart and hope to die.
Don't say that. Not in this world.
Well, that's like the worst thing, yeah.
I'm a pirate.
No way.
Yeah, you call me. What really happened was I was trying to help someone.
Am I really feeling bad for the governor?
How are you trying to help him?
I was trying to protect him, you know. Stop him getting hurt.
But you got hurt instead.
Yeah.
Did they get hurt too?
Yeah, they did.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
That's some pretty sad stuff. And here's the part where, you know, I'm watching the show. I'm not feeling anything yet. I'm, like, very curious about the episode, the direction they're going. But then what's funny is that family starts sending him on errands. Like, first the dad says, go get the backgammon. He goes up there. There's a zombie without a face in the bathtub that the guy tried to kill himself, but just blew his face off. How sad
is that? Failure.
Yeah. So he gets the backgammon, and then the daughter, she says, by the way, the actress, I can't remember her name, but she was on The Unit, and I always liked her on there, and I was even thinking, like, whatever happened to that actress? What happened?
The daughter or the mother?
The mother.
Okay.
She was on The Unit, and now, you know, she was on The Walking Dead, and I was like, oh, there she is. Okay. So she says, my dad has stage 4 cancer or something. He's dying, but he needs oxygen desperately. There's an old folks home near here. So he decides to go for them. I don't know. He's being nice to them. What's funny is if you notice, they bark at him a lot. Like they tell him what to do. Both sisters are very feisty. Like, one acts like she's a badass and tells him she'll blow him away if he acts up or anything. But, you know, like, he's not threatened at all. But when he goes there, that place is just a death trap. That
the moment he grabbed that cart and it's the bottles are rocking, and I was like, oh, shit.
And so, if you notice, when he goes in there and finds the oxygen, it gets really loud, where all you hear is like, like, it gets louder and louder. And there's, like, I don't know, 20 in there or something. And he's like, you know, just kind of like trying to get by real quick. And he, of course, he knocks it over, and he just grabs 2 of them, which is good enough, you know.
Yeah, the guy doesn't have that long.
I was wondering, the good moment of tension besides that was when the two daughters, the sisters, are in there with their dad. He's playing chess with the little girl, and he keeps looking in there at the dad. He knows that when that dad dies, he's going to come back, and he just keeps looking in there and staring at him, you know? And you wonder, like, you know, they've shown that he doesn't say a lot of words now. He's not talking very much. Like, would you go, hey, I got to tell you something. Come here for a second. When he dies, he's going to come back. But, you know, they don't have that scene in there. Basically, she's like, hey, Grandpa's gone. I need you to come say goodbye to him or whatever. He's been dead for quite a while, actually. And then you see his face like, oh, shit. And he starts coming back as they're all in there. So the governor, Brian, Philip, I don't know what the hell you want to call him. He grabs the oxygen tank and smashes his skull in with it, which has traumatized the little girl.
It's vicious. Like the level, it was like watching Drive and having the guy's head smashed in the elevator.
He does it repeatedly. He's like, cling, cling, cling. And you realize, like, now he cares about these people, you know?
Yeah, that was the moment.
And when he decides he needs to leave, the little girl hates him now. He just wants to leave. And she's like, no, you're part of our lives now. Take us with you. That's when I was like, he should have turned around and said, take you with me. This is like the safest place I've been.
Yeah, you might as well just stay here until this all passes over.
If anything, he should have said, I will clean out this building for you. I'll go upstairs, kill all the walkers, clean them out, and you'll have the whole building to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. But he takes them with him. And I know it's necessary for the story for them to leave, I guess, but I honestly, would you have ever left that place?
Probably not, no.
Unless a herd comes walking by, you know?
I think the only thing that really bothered me in the entire episode was whenever the girl twists her ankle. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, because we've just seen Michonne do that recently. And
yeah, it was. Sure, it's been used twice so far.
I know that people can hurt themselves very easily, I guess, but come on, you can't
but
keep
doing. But
do
they really have to go to that lazy place?
No, they didn't. She would have been fine. She's young. She's got her health, and they could have easily. You know, they're in that truck, and the truck breaks down. Oh, by the way, before the mother of the daughter, she starts really coming on to the governor, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Do you like how she's just kind of like grinding into him, like backwards, you know, kind of like rubbing her shoulder on him. And he's just kind of like
this baby.
Something about the governor. Women just love that guy.
He's,
you know,
just damn sexy.
It's the,
I think it's because his name is Morrissey.
David Morrissey. To do with it. But the truck breaks down, so they start walking, and things become a cluster F immediately. And I really liked when he grabs the girl and he's running with her. You notice he's not even thinking of the other two girls anymore. He just wants to protect the little girl. And they fall in a pit. I don't know why that pit's there, by the way, but the way that he kills those zombies is awesome. You know, just
but the like, moment they fell in the pit, I was like, wait a second, was that one of his pits?
Yeah, I wonder that too.
They used to do, they would do that.
They would make traps.
Yeah.
Zombie traps. So they'd have some kind of noise that it would track them and they would fall in. I wonder that. And then, you know, he brutally kills those. Like, he rips one skull just off. Like,
he rips one throat out.
Yeah, that was pretty messed up. And, you know, because they're coming towards the little girl. And the little girl's like, is anything going to happen to me? And he's like, nothing will ever happen to you. Like,
she's now become his daughter.
Yeah. And then that dude shows up, one of his men that abandoned him. He's like, well, looky here. I'll be goddamn or something like that. So that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with that. Because
it looks like another
like
governor.
The preview the next week, he's like right back into the shit of governoring or ear.
Well, I know
the other guy's in control, but he just seems a little too.
Yeah, the other guy says, hey, get this straight. I'm in charge. And it's just like, yeah, we'll see about that. I'd be like, let's go back to that building with all the pizza food you have.
Yeah, that food seemed really delicious.
I'll eat SpaghettiOs the rest of my life. What the hell? It's better than encountering the undead everywhere I go. I thought it was funny that all the walkers were standing in front of a squeaky sign. Did you notice that?
No.
It was a sign going, eek, 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 like dangling on a pole, and they were all just like standing nuts there like they were attracted to the sound. I thought that was a good touch there. But I went on Alan Sepinwall's site to see his write-up of that episode. He was like, this is probably the weakest episode of the season.
Really?
Yeah. He said it was very confusing because the mother of that daughter looked just like Maggie. And that was very confusing to him. And I was like, what? She doesn't look like a Maggie.
What world does he live in?
And then I looked in the comments. People were like, this is the worst episode ever. I'm giving up on this show. And
I enjoyed the hell out of it because it humanized the governor. It showed that there's still something there.
When he was in that hospital.
The entire time I almost thought it could have easily been Rick in that mm-hmm. same situation.
Well, that's like when he's in that hospital trying to get the oxygen, you want him to get the oxygen for them. And I was like, is this happening? Do I really care what happens to him? And I
did. Exactly. This atrocious. How many times am I going to use atrocious? Really? He's a terrible character. Like he's an asshole. He's a sociopath.
All of his people. He gunned them down. He snapped and he just shot them all. He turned Milton on Andrea. You remember? He stabbed him so he would die and come back and eat her. He's a really awful person.
Yeah, and yet I felt for it. Sometimes I don't understand what the TV recapper critic people are thinking.
Yeah, at one point, I was like, I want to be a TV recapper. And then I read the recaps and I'm like, I don't want to ever be that cynical asshole,
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that way.
You want to enjoy something. I think whenever maybe that turns into their job, they just lose the joy of it seems. Because those are some of the worst criticisms. That the look of someone confused you. Or that's just like a cop out to an excuse for not liking it.
It was like they should have gotten a woman that didn't look so much like Maggie. That's confusing. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's the chick from the unit. I recognize her. whatever. And the little girl shouldn't have looked just like his daughter. It should have been like a little black girl or something.
Should have been Clementine from The Walking Dead game.
You know, it'd have been like, you know what? Why don't you go write a show? You go make your own show.
Exactly.
Stop
recapping shit and write something yourself.
Oh, I'm a TV critic, they get to go to all the Paley Fest and interview them. I hate those people, Bill.
Bastards.
That's what we should be doing.
We should.
Yeah, I got the free DVD set, so I had to review it. Haven't gotten around to it yet.
How terrible.
Screw you to hell.
Hard life.
You know what I'm really excited about? The new Frank Darabont show about the 40s cops.
Oh, Mob City.
Mob City. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, the more I see of it, the more I'm interested. And what the heck is Simon Pegg doing in there? I didn't know he was on the show.
And it's funny, I recently watched Gangster Squad.
I almost bought that at Target the other day. They had it for like $12.
It's an entertaining film. It's so funny, though, when Sean Penn is so over the top, but he's really entertaining, He's a really good actor. Everyone knows that. He's a weird dude in real life. But what's funny is there are scenes where it goes to like a bullet time slow-mo in the shootouts. And I'm like, well, this is so weird because it's a period drama in the 40s. And all of a sudden it's like
bullet time. Is it Max Payne?
Yeah. All of a sudden there's a part with the Tommy gun where it's like, and I'm like, what the hell? But I guess it looks cool.
Talk about taking you out of a time period.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's bullet time.
That is probably one of the worst directorial choices I've heard of in a very long time.
So you watch the movie. It's pretty entertaining. It's got a nice look to it or whatever. And then all of a sudden in the shootout, it's like, and the bullet's like traveling through the air. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. But all right, I'll rent it. I'm not going to buy it.
Josh Brolin's always good.
Yeah.
It's got the driver in it.
Does he wear the scorpion jacket?
Yeah. He plays the same character, pretty much. No, I'm kidding.
Ron Perlman in it.
I wish Ron Perlman was in it, but
in everything.
It's a fun movie. I'm glad
it's not in the show anymore.
I mean, I'm glad I just watched it on HBO instead of the movie theater.
Oh, okay, good. I'll tag it on the DVR.
Yeah, watch that and then watch Parker on Netflix.
Okay.
It'll be a good thing. And always, recently on Netflix, I want to say real quick, because we're going to go into the news, Bill, is I watched a documentary called Salinger about J.D. Salinger, the author.
I heard about that.
It's very interesting, and I've never even read J.D. Salinger.
You should at least read Catcher in the Rye. It's one of those books that doesn't really hold up, but it does capture a certain angsty moment in time that I think we can all relate to.
Apparently, I mean, people through the years, they've all related to it.
As you get older, though, it kind of loses its charm.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, as you become an adult and you see life in different ways, and the same can be said for Ayn Rand. You know, when I was that age, mm-hmm. and I was reading Catcher in the Rye, Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, Anthem, all, you know, it's that certain angsty quality of it where, like, you think you know more than everyone else. And
it sounds like, yeah, what J.D. Salinger did is he hated phoniness in people.
Yeah.
And that's what people can relate to. Like, I hate phoniness in people, too. And, like, it sounds like the rest of his life.
Up to 11.
Like, one thing you know about J.D. Salinger, we all know, is that he lives in seclusion or lived in seclusion. He wanted to be away from the spotlight or whatever. But the documentary does a good job. It shows you what he was doing. And so it's really interesting. And I
want to check that out.
Another documentary I watched called Room 237 about these people obsessed with The Shining.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a hunk of shit.
When you're talking about these people that are obsessed with The Shining, it reminded me of that documentary I watched on iTunes a little while back called Rewind This, about people obsessed with VHS. And it really kind of is the same sort of mentality where people want to read into something so desperately
that's
to make them unique.
Uh-huh.
I will admit, becomes irritating.
There's interesting things about The Shining, about the way it makes no sense, the way the corridors lead and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's where my fascination ends, that sentence that I just said. Yeah. You know, I don't need to go look at
maps. And there's a whole
of it.
Video on YouTube documenting the way the place works architecturally
mm-hmm.
in the film. And that's really all you need to watch, from what I understand.
Right, but there's.
And
like,
I personally don't think that Kubrick put that much thought into it. I really don't.
Well, that's the funny thing is, if you go back and watch, I mean, I don't go back and watch it, but what I'm saying is, a lot of people say, when I first watched The Shining, I didn't like it. But then.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But then I started thinking about it, and I went and saw it again, and then I started thinking about different details in it, and they became obsessed with it. It's just weird. It's like, I don't really enjoy the movie, but I keep watching it. And that's basically what they're saying. And there's some people who are like, that skiing poster, that's actually a minotaur there.
Oh, Jesus.
And a minotaur, what it means, like, in mythology. And I'm like, okay, just stop. Because
yeah,
I see a guy.
Point, they're
I see a guy
into something that isn't there.
Yeah, so I went halfway through it. I started getting really sleepy, and I was like, "Come on, Jason, you just gotta watch the rest. Gotta watch." And it's to the point where he goes, "One time, I talked my friends into playing The Shining forwards and backwards at the same time, projected on the same image." So they're watching the film go forwards and backwards, and the guy's talking about how interesting it is. And I was like, no, it's not really interesting at all.
No, it's not interesting. It's pretentious, you asshole.
And as I smoked my clove cigarettes and wore my beret in the theater, I kept thinking how fascinating this
and
is.
And drank my 21-year-old scotch.
Yeah.
From
oh, my God.
Go-Bot
what a waste of time.
Because it's ironic.
What a piece of dog shit.
Yeah, and you know what my biggest problem with The Shining is?
What?
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
You know, I could never enjoy her in anything. Like, anytime she would show up in a movie, I would be like, ugh.
Come on, it's olive oil.
Yeah.
She was great as olive oil, like a cartoon character. What's funny is I'm reading The Shining right now, the book.
Same, so am I.
And they describe her character, she sounds pretty attractive in the book.
She is attractive in the book. And I think the other thing that really is making me very uncomfortable with the book is the whole scene near the beginning where it's Danny's point of view and he's talking about divorce and then he's talking about suicide and all that. And coming from a child's mind, mm-hmm. that can just barely comprehend these ideas, but it scares them shitless.
Yeah.
It's really freaking unnerving.
Yeah, it's very well written. You know, it's Stephen King in his prime. And
it makes me think about when Stephen King wrote that, he was in his probably his deepest, darkest bit of alcoholism.
Yeah, I'm not... I think his main part about that was like Tommyknocker. I think he's this might have been post then, wasn't it?
No, I think in On Writing he was talking about how he wrote it while he was drunk.
I think that's the Tommyknockers.
Is it the Tommyknockers? I know he said that he wrote Cujo in a total blackout.
Because the main theme, I believe, of The Shining is he's talking about it's basically an abusive husband, a drunk, living with a drunk, basically, is all what it's on.
Okay, maybe I've got him twisted. But yeah, I mean, it's just still, it's a really poignant book.
Basically, yeah, and the whole thing there, is that he was that person. He felt like that person. Basically, a man just trying to hold it together to keep his demons bottled up inside, and you don't realize how you're destroying your family and harming your family. Mm-hmm. And that's why Stephen King was very upset. It was very personal to him. And then when he watched The Shining, it was like, what the hell is this shit? You know?
Well, it was basically just a disrespect. There was a certain amount of arrogance in the film that...
Yeah, well, yeah, Stanley Kubrick's going to do whatever he wants to do, and that he did.
And I think that was Stanley Kubrick's biggest problem, is he sort of kind of bought into his own horseshit, honestly.
Well, I mean, honestly, I watched The Shining a lot as a kid, and I'm not even sure if I loved the movie. I did watch it just... I watched it because it was
because it required being watched.
But Bill, it's because the layout of that hotel made no sense. And I started thinking about the moon landing, how I'm pretty sure it was faked.
And you think Kubrick did that moon landing because it correlates with the hallways?
He faked the moon landing, but he can't tell us because he signed a contract. So he's telling us in the movie.
And did you know that actually the voice of one of the astronauts was Scatman Carruthers?
No, I did not. But I did know that The Shining is really about the way Native Americans were mistreated. Because if you just look at the box in the background in the pantry, you'll know that's what he's saying.
What's Manifest Destiny?
What the hell is people smoking? I want to see a documentary like this based on every movie. Like,
yeah, I just want to see people just make up the most balls out crazy shit they can come up with about a movie and make a documentary out of it.
Big Trouble in Little China, Bill. It's all about prohibition. If you just watch it the right way,
I thought it was about the rise of communism within China.
That's easy to see there. That theme is there, but John Carpenter is just throwing you off with that.
Okay.
So, but also, did you notice, like, when they're in the catacombs, there's no way those tunnels would lead to where they do. It's just kind of crazy.
No, and that's a metaphor for the Black Plague.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I can see that there.
Yeah.
And the whole Lopan thing, you know that? McCarthyism.
Yeah, it is.
So it's very interesting stuff, and you got to see the documentary on that.
It all comes back to communism.
It really does, doesn't it? Oh, my God, what a crock of shit. Oh, but anyway, Bill, let's get into the news. What do you say?
All right, I need to take another pee break, so if you don't mind, I'll be right back.
All right, after these messages, we'll be right back.
I'm kind of digging that. Genesis Dutch. 16-bit arcade graphics. You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis Dutch. Genesis Dutch.
Yeah, you can't play Altered Beast on Nintendo. Pretendo.
Get Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Woo, Super Mario
Pat
GP
Riley free,
free,
guys.
What,
you could have an NBA coach free in your home.
October 31st and get an extra game.
Across America, Dawn Medicine Pies are disappearing from store shelves. Why? We're switching now to Jane.
Thanks, Dan. Sir, why is everyone buying up these pies? Is it their yummy filling?
Yes. He's right, Jane. But mainly it's because of Dolly Madison Pies and the winner sweepstakes.
Oh?
You can instantly win the grand prize jukebox with 100 records.
You can win!
A Snoopy phone or a Snoopy pin.
That's why these pies are disappearing. Back to Dan. I won! Dan, I won!
I love Dolly Madison Pies, don't you guys?
Thanks again, boys, and keep the change.
All right, Bill is back.
They're delicious. Yes, I am.
I love those old brought to you by Dolly Madison. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh man, those are so good in that. You know, I swear they were better back then. Maybe because we were kids and we enjoyed it more.
We had brand new taste buds.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Like, we could get just the right amount of lard coating the top of the roof of our mouth.
Things were made with real sugar back then.
You know what? You're right. That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
Things were pure. That also, the garbage, like, was much more pure.
I don't know about you, but I wasn't allowed to eat stuff like that very often. So when I did, it was like, oh, yeah. Oh,
yo, it was a treat. Blah. Absolutely.
I remember some kids I would look over, and they'd have like a Twinkie in their lunch like every day. Wow. That was some shit I got maybe like
once
a month.
I can't even wrap my mind around that.
I know. It's crazy. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Scanning my balls?
No, we're not. All right, Bill, what do you have in the news this week?
All right. Another one of those stories with the excellent, excellent mugshot. Worcester man faces seventh drunk driving charge after allegedly driving a stolen backhoe while
drunk.
Looks
like a typical low-life character to me.
Yes, a Worcester man, a businessman with a 17-page criminal record, was ordered held without bail Thursday pending a dangerousness hearing on charges that included driving drunk in a full-sized yellow construction backhoe.
Nice.
Yeah, allegedly he stole the backhoe in Worcester, drove it to Auburn, loaded a new $7,000 snowplow that was not his property into the front bucket.
Are you drunk?
And then took off. So his criminal record includes prison time for a conviction in 1993, trying to blow up state police investigative unit office. Trying to destroy drug evidence.
He's
classy.
He really is.
He's up there. You know, you can only, you know, last so long on a career of crime and get away with it. So I guess it was his time, you know. I guess maybe he thought driving the back would count as drunk driving since it wasn't a vehicle. Don't know, but the mugshot is beautiful. He's just shit-faced and stupid-looking. Exactly who I would think would get in trouble.
Wow.
Going on and getting in trouble, a teacher has been fired for having sex with a 16-year-old boy after seducing him with photographs of herself in various poses on Facebook.
I want them to think that I'm this naive southern country girl that just plays with kids. I do not want them to know that I'm working on 3 degrees. They don't need to know that.
And by degrees, she means 16-year-old boys?
That's supposed to be a short drop. I don't know what the hell.
Yes.
I think it was like 10 minutes long.
We gave us a whole life story. So mother of two, Claire Horton, 33, posted a series of self-portraits known as selfies before her relationship with the pupil became sexual. She showed him pictures of herself in a lacy top and a black dress with a plunge neckline.
What is going on? I don't understand.
I don't get it. Like, are they so... are they trying to recapture their youth? Are they not using their heads? I don't get it. I wish I had a hot teacher that did this, you know, but of course it always happens with other kids. Damn them.
Yes, chef. Teach me how to kick an egg.
But I mean, a mother of two, 33 years old. Yes, she's going through a divorce, so maybe she was lonely, but isn't there other ways of going about finding companionship instead of, you know, robbing the cradle? It's just,
yeah.
They must have chemical imbalances.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, at 16 years old, that's like winning the lottery. You know what's interesting
is I saw a there's this movie on Netflix now starring Kristen Bell called Lifeguard.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And what's funny is basically she's a 30-year-old woman who I'm ruining the movie, aren't I? I don't know.
Fine, I don't care.
Basically, she has relations with a minor.
Okay.
And
does he like work in a diamond mine, coal mine?
No, but he's seems like a good kid, and he's or whatever. They form a bond.
A bond.
And I was telling Heather, like, you know, as I'm watching the film, I know it's wrong, but, you know, it's Kristen Bell. I don't really have that much of a problem with it. It's a movie, right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, if that was the other way around, it was a 30-year-old dude and a 16-year-old girl, I would have a major problem with it, you know? Sure. It's just the way of thinking, you know? And it's really messed up. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's hard to talk about, honestly.
Yeah, it's a really messed up subject. You know what I'm saying?
It is. Speaking of messed up subjects,
that's my main thing I'm looking for.
Have you ever had pink berry, Dr. John?
Pink berry?
Yes, pink berry, the yogurt. Kind of a yogurt chain out west, I believe.
No.
All right, well, the co-founder of pink berry yogurt... Well, he was found guilty on Friday of beating a homeless man with a tire iron.
Come on. It's a little too pink.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jury deliberated little more than one day and found Young Lee, 49, guilty of assault with a deadly weapon. The jury of six women and six men also found true the special allegation that the assault caused great bodily injury to the victim. I would think... sustained a broken left forearm, several cuts to his head during the attack last summer. Lee faces up to 7 years in prison, and I don't believe the homeless man will ever be homeless again because he will be living off Pinkberry money.
Yeah.
Wow. So maybe this beating is the best thing to happen to him.
Flavonosity.
You know, God works in mysterious ways, Dr. John. Like giving you a career.
Does it say why the guy decided to do that?
No. Lee parked his car near the off-ramp, gave chase, and beat the... he was panhandling. The guy was panhandling.
Ah.
Wow. He felt the man disrespected him by showing a explicit tattoo.
Did you see the one where Papa Smurf took a crutch and smashed the shit out of a guy with a red hat? Did you see that one? Did you
want to
see that one?
Yeah, that was his live audio.
Wow.
But yeah, he parked his car near the off-ramp, chased the guy, and beat him with his tire iron over his head and arm.
A tire iron? Is that even necessary?
Well, he just, you know, he felt the need to beat a homeless person. I can't even explain it.
Oh my God. Oh, by the way, I saw, you know, a review of, Dead Rising 3. I know you did too. They said it has the same time limits as the first game.
I hate that. I hated that in the first game.
No way.
Yeah.
Don't give me freaking time limits. Just let me play the game and finish it how I want.
Don't make an open world game with a time limit. You don't see Grand Theft Auto's like, okay, you have 24 hours to complete this.
Yeah, I just don't... I wouldn't even be a quarter of the way through the game and it would end because I ran out of time.
Yeah, you were supposed to meet this character, but you never did.
I'm sorry, I'm too busy putting Lego men heads on and running around in circles.
Dressing like Mega Man and building weapons.
I'm kind of digging that.
Dr. John loves it, though, Bill.
Dr. John, he likes a tanginosity.
He sure does.
A dipitosity.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear him flavonosity. And Queen Latifah get together.
If it has flavonosity.
Flavonosity.
Of the highest order.
He's a lunatic. In quite possibly... one of the most traumatic things to come out of the terrible Illinois tornadoes this week. We have Styx and REO Speedwagon joining forces to play a benefit concert.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's torturous.
I can't fight this feeling
anymore.
They're
going to take it on the run. Mm-hmm. And they're rocking to rescue.
Do those guys have just too much time on their hands?
They... That was even better. That was just fantastic. They're going to look for Dr. Roboto.
Well, that's really cool of them because, you know,
I guess.
If I was there and my house was destroyed and they were playing, I was like, I'd be like, I can sing along to a couple of these songs, you know?
I guess, yeah. A little, you know, instead of turning on the light FM station, you just go to the concert.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess there's three tiers of tickets, 28, 43, and 58. I hope you don't have to pay that if your house was destroyed.
Yeah, maybe shouldn't it be free?
Go to the picture.
Why isn't it free?
Well, it's a benefit concert.
So is your hip tang from the Yuzu?
Oh, I get it. They're raising money. Okay.
Yes, they're raising money for the 13 Illinois counties that were declared disaster areas.
You know, I'm bedazzled myself.
Really frightening video on YouTube of a father and daughter. It was on Reddit, and the father's standing outside, and he's taping the tornado, this massive tornado that's just coming right for the house. And I thought he had more time, but he runs back in the house, yells at his daughter. I don't know where they go, but it's totally dark. I'm thinking it's a basement. I don't know if it was a basement. It might not have been. It might just have been an interior room. But this tornado, it arrives in no time. And
holy
just
shit.
The daughter's screaming. He's trying to keep together, and it passes, and he leaves that dark room area with his camera, and half of the house is just torn apart. Just, it's wide open.
Wow.
And then he goes, I need to go check on the neighbors, and he goes to look out, and the house is gone. It's just gone. The house, there's nothing there. And it's just shocking. I've always been afraid of tornadoes ever since the episode of Mr. Belvedere where there was a tornado. In fact, to this day, I remember, like, go to the southeast corner of the basement. Like, that was my thing as a kid. After I saw that, that's all I needed to see. If it was sprinkling, I was running to the southeast corner of the basement.
Did you have a compass? We're like, okay, where would it be?
I just kind of decided that the back corner was the southeast corner. It didn't matter. It got in my head and never left.
What's this, Bill?
Oh, God, no.
That's some awesome keyboard in that, Bill.
It does. Is that Dennis DeYoung?
I've got too much time on my hands. Awesome.
Which is apparent because of that song.
I just wish I hadn't drunk all that cough syrup.
It's very nice of them to do that, Bill.
What?
It's very nice of them to do that. To raise money.
It is. It's very nice. in case you... I still find it slightly torturous, but okay.
I thought you were kidding.
In Silver Spring, Maryland, if you kind of need open jar, what?
The creepy door open, like,
yes, it was. I think the dog just tried to come into my room. I need a little WD-40. There's a giant open jar of Famous Dave's signature pickles on sale on Craigslist.
Yeah,
for Colesville, Silver Springs, Maryland. Colesville vicinity. So they bought it at Costco a few months back, but the husband didn't like them. Expiration says 12/12/2013. So you still have a good month
on these
pickles if you want them.
Whoa there, pickle.
Yeah. Jesus, Marvin.
Why, Bill? Why are they doing this?
Because I guess they want somebody else to enjoy the pickles.
Turkey.
I mean, what would you, you know, if you bought a large jar of pickles and you thought you would like them, but then didn't like them, would you throw them out or offer them to someone else?
I guess I would put them up on eBay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, why not? Make some money off of it, or at least make somebody else enjoy
it. That's a country? I've heard of turkey.
Oh, boy. That's Kelly Pickler, Foggy, not Pickles. Oh, my God.
Yes, but she's so charming. Bungling Burger asked his homeowner victim to call the police. A bungling burglar.
I love it.
Yes, he asked the homeowner victim to call the police after he became stuck in the bathroom window.
Robble, robble.
The not-so-stealthy intruder attempted to break into the house by squeezing himself through the window. But he became trapped and was discovered more than an hour later when the owner of the house was trying to break into went to the bathroom around 5:30 a.m.
No way.
You imagine going to take a pee and then all of a sudden there's like some man ass sticking through your window. Just
holy
like,
shit.
Like, what the hell? How the hell did you... I would just like try to kick it out. Just get out of my house. I
mean, it's like, get the hell out of here, dude. I'm stuck.
Humberside police arrived, and the man readily admitted he was trying to break into the house when he became trapped in the window.
Yes, it's true.
He's since been arrested and taken into custody. Earlier this year, a bonehead burglar was caught when his fingerprints were found on an open champagne bottle. Daryl Shaw lifted thousands of pounds worth of computers from a school in Kent, but couldn't resist a swig of fizz when he saw it in the refrigerator before escaping.
Don't want to be trapped no more. I don't want to feel like this no more.
Yeah. Criminals are normally kind of stupid, so yeah. I'm not shocked by that.
Most criminals are stupid and they get caught.
Yeah. And finally, the biggest story in news... a pollution suit puts sriracha as a... I hate how this is worded. It's so bad. Pollution suit puts chill on popular hot sauce.
This is gross.
Yeah, well, Minneapolis donut chef Teresa Fox heard that Hoi Fong Foods, maker of the sriracha Asian-style hot sauce...
Flavonosity,
yes. Dr. John loves his sriracha. might be forced to shut its factory near Los Angeles. She knew she needed to stock up.
So typical dumb flavor and a hip tang to it.
Yes, it does have a hip tang. I don't mind sriracha. I'm not really a big hot saucy guy, but it's got a nice vinegary, tangy, tanginosity.
Tangnosity.
Yes, tanginosity or tangnosity.
I can see.
One maybe is better than the other. I don't know.
How could you have hot sauce and not like it hot? It's a hot sauce challenge.
Huh?
Well, you know what? It's Dr. John's hot sauce challenge, and you just need to accept it.
Yeah. Who's better, Dr. John or Dr. Teeth?
Dr. Teeth.
I'm kind of digging that.
It's just, you know, it's the wrong place in the right time.
Yeah,
right place in the wrong time.
There's got to be a hip tang to it. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
A little hip tang.
All right. Yes.
Yes.
So the co-owner of Glam Doll Donuts, a hip bakery, a hip tanginosity bakery, popular with a late night crowd, uses the sweet and spicy chili sauce and icing for the peanut butter and sriracha flavored chart topper donut.
Holy what?
Yes. To ensure she would have enough on hand, Ms. Fox said she purchased 5 extra cases of the sriracha sauce. It's one of those things you discover it and start putting it on everything. No, not really. Because you don't want everything to taste like sriracha.
Yeah. What does that taste like anyway?
What, like tanginosity?
Yeah. What is that sriracha?
It's a hip tang.
I thought you were kidding.
No, it's just a chili sauce. It's got a sweetness and a heat and
I gotcha. Yeah.
It's It's sweet, but it's hot. And it's kind of vinegary.
It's spicy hot.
It's basically hot ketchup.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging that.
So fans of businesses across the food service industry are concerned they could face a serious shortage made by a family-owned company at two facilities in the Los Angeles area. Residents living near the Hoi Fong 626,000 square foot facility, which opened last year in Irwindale, have complained of noxious fumes.
I thought it fit the story.
Yeah, that's what you hear whenever you go into the sriracha factory. So the city claims that fumes generated by the plant's processing of chili peppers
go and eat it.
Have caused eye and throat irritant and headaches among residents. Well, maybe they should put some sort of filter on their exhaust system, for crying out loud. They say they can tell us that the odor has not gone away.
Children and people are suffering from
respiratory conditions like asthma. So you move to a new place, you increase the production, and shit goes south. So I'm sure they're going to stop making it. They'll figure something out, and then we'll get right back to it. But of course, because people are thinking there's going to be a shortage, well, let's go out and buy a ton of it, just like Twinkies, which came back in, what, a month or two?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's
like, it's the end of Twinkies. I got to stock up. He's like, you do know those have an expiration date, right?
Yeah, they'll survive the apocalypse. All right. And that's news for this week. So go buy your sriracha.
You know, I'm bedazzled myself.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
We haven't heard from the TRS-80 for a while, but it's time for our local resident android to sing the DVD DVD dong.
The DVD song.
Do the DVD song for us. What do you say?
I say
it's
okay.
Off the hook, yeah.
All right.
I actually like her better than Steven, but don't say it.
I hear you. All right, let's check it out.
Ow!
Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. DVDs. DVDs.
All right.
DVDs, HD Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't drunk all that cough syrup.
Well, thank you, TRS-80. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, so let's start off with the most important DVD and Blu-ray. That's the 2013 Boston Red Sox official World Series film.
Yeah.
Does anybody actually buy this? That, like, why make a national release of this? Does this really need to be had?
People in the Boston area will be purchasing that.
Yeah, I really don't care, but okay.
Era Boston.
And next, I guess Bill Cosby doesn't feel like going away because he's doing another comedy special.
Really?
Yeah, Bill Cosby, Far From Finished at Comedy Central, filmed this year. So, wow, I didn't know he still had it in him.
Okay.
Way to go. I mean, I love the albums I listened to growing up, like To My Brother Russell, Whom I Slept With, and all those. Like, I thought those were hilarious, but as he's aged, he's become less funny.
Maybe he has new material, Bill.
New old material. Okay.
Yo, pudding bops! You see, I got nothing. I have no current humor.
Who does? He hasn't been around. Now he I think the last thing he did was he made a booty call to someone or something.
Excellent. Hey, yeah. Got to get out there, Bill.
If something it like is that. Flavonosity
yeah.
of the highest order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I think he's saying if it has flavonosity, he'll check it out.
I think everyone needs to give a little attention to the flavonosity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and finally, we've got the final season of Breaking Bad, the final half of the season on Blu-ray.
Nice. It was excellent. I loved it.
Or just pick up the barrel with all of them.
Oh!
Can I be a little impudent here?
Yeah, that's the big barrel box set.
And there's so many cool little features in that.
How big is that
the
thing,
challenge
by the way?
Chip and the... Like how the different disc separators fit together to make something. And there's just all kinds of really cool little features in it that I want that. But I just spent money on a PS4. I don't have money for the barrel. So maybe one day I'll get
name.
It.
Yeah, I want to see the documentary that's supposed to be on it.
Oh, I'm sure it'll show up on YouTube or BitTorrent.
That's what I'm waiting for, because I got to see that shit, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that should be cool.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah. All right. Next Blu-ray, we have Paul Schrader's The Canyons Unrated Director's Cut.
Wow. Paul Schrader, yep. He's a heavy dude, man.
Yeah, this is the movie he did with Lindsay Lohan and porn guy, James Dean.
Looks like a poltergeist.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but is that movie good? Did it get good reviews and such?
No, it got horrible reviews.
What? What's going on? Daffy really liked it, though, Bill.
I imagine why. And next we have a movie called Getaway, which I would see the trailer in the theater and laugh out loud. Okay, I guess the premise is Ethan Hawke is a race car driver.
Get out of here.
Oh, I know what this is. Yeah.
Yes.
It's with Selena Gomez.
His family is abducted.
Oh, my God, no.
Selena Gomez is a hacker car thief.
Awesome.
And
she carried a laptop in her purse or something?
Yeah, she tries to steal the car that Ethan Hawke is driving, but he's driving it because the people who have his wife and kid are making him drive it?
Yeah, he needs to drive somewhere real fast.
And now that Selena Gomez is in the car with him, they need to drive together.
And she can't leave. Yeah. What is the film called again?
Drive Fast. Get Away.
Drive Fast, Get Away?
That's it.
Get away from here.
Yes.
Oh, man. I got to check that out when it's on Netflix, Bill.
Yeah, that just looked
really good. Here.
What was Ethan Hawke doing? Is he just like, dude, paycheck?
Earning a paycheck.
I got bills. What do you want?
So is your hip tang from the Yuzu?
Yes, it's his hip tang from the Yuzu.
Padma, don't try to use the Dr. John speak.
Yeah.
Hip tang, that's my main thing I'm looking for.
I mean, people accept it from him because he's almost dead. So they
flavonosity.
Flavonosity.
Yeah.
They really
some
shouldn't
people have
hurt.
No willpower, no brains, no vision. They just drift through life like lumps of crap.
What is she talking about?
I love that. What is she talking about?
That movie is sort of all kinds of genius, so...
It really is. The more I watch it, the more I'm like, that's a funny bit there, you know?
It's a really well-thought-out bit to have the guy who's floating through life like a lump of shit.
His friends is get drunk and pass out.
Yeah.
And she's like, there's people who just drift through life. They don't try anything. They have no willpower, and he wakes up, he's barely conscious, he goes, what is she talking about? It's hilarious.
All right, next Blu-ray and DVD, we have Jobs. Movie about Steve Jobs that Ashton Kutcher actually, I think, thought he was Steve Jobs.
Watch out, I'm coming to you for a job.
Yeah, and I love that the people that actually knew Steve Jobs and went to see this movie were offended.
Good. We're live. Good job.
Like, I think at one point Steve Wozniak even offered to consult on it, and they're like, no, we're good, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even care.
I even heard this. This is a funny thing, is that Ashton Kutcher said he found the role, you know, like he got Steve Jobs is when he mimicked his walk.
Mm-hmm.
And people who knew Steve Jobs said, what the hell is he doing? He did not walk like that. And if you watch the movie, they said, look at the way he walks. It's ridiculous. And Ashton Kutcher thinks he's doing some real method shit there, you know?
Yeah, he's... well, he's method to...
My friend Patty promised me a blowjob.
Oh, wait.
Excuse me?
Steve Job.
Promised you a Steve Job.
Yes.
Okay.
Do your job and do it now.
All right, moving on to Blu-ray, we have from Shout Factory, Knight Riders.
Knight Rider with... oh, wait. Did you say Knight Riders?
Yes.
With Ed Harris?
Yes, and Tom Savini.
I've never seen that. It looks like such a weird movie.
It's the traveling Renaissance fair on motorcycles.
Sounds good to me, man.
This is one of those times where it's like, man, I wish I had $15 because I would buy this in an instant. It's so stupid.
Have you seen it?
I've
just seen pictures of it and shit.
It's basically a, what would you call it? A loose adaptation of King Arthur.
I spent most of my life in institutions.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, but with motorcycles.
So they're like Renaissance guys, but they're a motorcycle gang.
Yes.
Kinda? Like they work...
Kinda.
They work at like a fair, like fairgrounds or something, or...
Yes.
Here in Texas, they have a thing called Scarborough Fair where people dress up like knights and shit and women.
Isn't that a song?
They dress up like, yeah, are you going to Scarborough
Fair? Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
My friend Bill, a friend of mine, Bill, not you, Bill, it's a different guy. He got married there with his wife, and people who came to the wedding... came in normal clothes, but like everyone else was in costumes. It was so bizarre.
So they didn't like specify this is a LARPing wedding?
No. And you know what's funny is Bill and his wife, Gina, you know, they were dressed up and they looked great. You know, he was like a knight. They have a king and a queen there at the fair and they came to the wedding.
Oh, well That's amazing.
Well, kings are really busy. They've got a lot of stuff to do. And
that's that they carved out time for that. That's fantastic.
Royalty. But, I mean, I remember Heather and I went, and we're just like, yeah, this is kind of neat or whatever. But we were thinking, there's no way we'd ever do this with our wedding.
No, yeah, that's something somebody else does, and then you talk about it.
Yeah, it's a cool memory, you know. I remember people getting drinking a little too much also with that thing, but there are people who love that shit, you know, and apparently George Romero wanted to cover that in a film, I guess.
Well, you know, when you get tired of doing zombies.
Yeah. You know what? I'm sick of zombies with social issues. How about,
King Arthur on motorcycle.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hey, that's pretty much what Sons of Anarchy is. Oh wait, that's Hamlet, isn't it?
Yeah, that is Hamlet. Holy shit. You just blew my mind with that one.
Riding through this world.
Please don't sing that song. I fast forward through that every week.
I do too. I try to hit the fast forward before you hear the...
Yeah.
And then it goes... Ding.
If I riding get through this... The,
I try to get it fast forwarded.
Straight.
Yeah. I try to get it fast forwarded by the... Ding. Like, oh, do it fast forward before he starts singing. I do it every time.
A perfect line. Yeah, that song is so bad.
On the devil's bed or something like that.
Oh, is that on the devil's bed?
Yeah.
I bet you the devil has a very comfy bed.
If it has flavonosity of the highest order.
Yes, well, okay.
He doesn't even finish his sentence. He's so stoned out
he's
of
like,
his gourd.
In mid-sentence, he's like, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that?
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
Dr. John's hot sauce.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we have Mystery Science Theater 3000, the 25th anniversary edition tin.
Holy shit.
25 nice. Years.
How has it been that long?
It's shocking.
What the hell is going on?
It makes sense. I started watching it when I was like 11 or 12, so...
Watch out for snakes!
Yep.
You know, I saw that Netflix it still has some Mystery Science Theaters. Or at least they've
got... I know they took a ton of them down.
Yeah, they still have Soul Taker, and they still have... what's the Pipper?
Oh, Pipper, Pipper Partners.
Yeah.
Final Sacrifice.
Final Sacrifice. They still have that.
Troy McGregor.
I want to know what happened to you, Dad. I died.
Knew him. We were partners. Pipper Partners.
I was like, knew him. He was delicious.
He was delicious.
Oh, God, it's so damn
sacrifice.
Funny. I want to sit... next time you and I are together in the same room, we need to just sit there and watch that.
We would probably end up on the floor in tears watching that together.
I love when Tom Servo starts going... to the music.
This has the bacony stench of Canada all over it.
I love at the very beginning, the bad guy, he's like, oh, the movie's going really great.
I think the moment I lose it is at the very beginning when they show the director's name and you go, he comes from a long line of great anuses.
Yes. And of course, my favorite is the food.
Yeah. Dude!
And the part where, what's his name? Something Pipper?
Pipper. Oh, shit, I can't remember. Pipper.
But he turns to the camera and he's and they go,
yes. Oh, Troy McGregor?
Troy McGregor.
Yeah, anytime he makes, like, he smiles, they make a face and make a sound like he's Gollum. Oh, and then, of Last course, night? The, he's always writing in his diary to Larry Zonka.
Yeah, he's like, he's talking. He's talking really soft where you barely hear him.
Larry Zonka, today was a good day.
Rousedower.
Oh, Rousedower.
Let me just
quit on me. I won't, Rousedower.
Let me just pour some garbage on my engine.
Yes!
Oh, my God. Love it! That's
that
the best one.
So many great moments.
If anyone's listening has never seen a Mystery Science Theater, go to Netflix and watch right now. Put it on. Wait, what was it called again?
Final Sacrifice.
The Final Sacrifice.
Okay, but this is the final one.
I don't know why I can't remember anything right now. I think I'm just tired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, so this Mystery Science Theater 3000 25th Anniversary Edition includes Moon Zero 2, which was a really awful space film.
I can imagine.
Really, really awful space film. The other one, this is a huge one, The Day the Earth Froze. It is the movie like that gave us Sampo. And it's kind of this crazy Norwegian thing where the Sampo is stolen from a village by this evil witch. And the Sampo gives flour and gold. And it's just retarded. It's this like Norwegian thing. I don't even know. It's okay. It was a Finnish-Soviet production based loosely on the events depicted in the Finnish national epic Kelvala. Yeah, so it's a great one. I mean, it's probably one of my favorites. It's just really
I thought you were kidding.
Then The Leech Woman.
Yikes.
Which I can barely remember. Gorgo, which is the British Godzilla that Leonard Maltin gave an excellent review to.
Really?
Yes. In fact, Leonard Maltin appears in the episode at the beginning with Pearl.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's funny.
This is a big set. Normally there's only four films. In this one, there's six. And we finally get the re-releases of Mitchell and The Brain That Wouldn't Die. And I think The Brain That Wouldn't Die might... No, it wasn't Mike's first one, but it's... I'd have to go back and look. But The Brain That Wouldn't Die is the head in the pan. And it's this woman. It's awful, of course. But I remember it in particular because it's called The Brain That Wouldn't Die. And then at the end, after the credits roll, it says The Head That Wouldn't Die. It's like the movie couldn't decide what it wants to be called. So that's always a good sign whenever they don't know what to call the movie. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that set this week. Next, we have Red 2 because the first one required a sequel.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Carl Urban was in the first one.
Yeah, I'll wait for the, I don't know. I'll just wait.
All right, Bill, what other movies do we have on DVD this week?
All right, finally, last one, Blu-ray, huge release from Criterion. It's Zatoichi, The Blind Swordsman.
Ah.
And it's 27 discs.
What?
Every Zatoichi film ever.
Holy shit.
62 to 73.
I didn't realize that it was like this long series.
Yeah, I mean, it's a national treasure. It's the longest running action series in Japanese. Yep. It's pretty awesome. It's the Blind Fury guy, the original one. Yep, this doesn't have Rutger Hauer. It has Shintaro Katsu.
Ah.
So, yeah, it's a huge set. I put it on my Christmas list. And that's it. That's Blu-rays and DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week, sir. Oh! Yeah.
I spent most of my life in institutions.
Thank you. Good night.
What
for
does that
week,
mean?
Try the veal. And see.
I gotta give all of y'all props.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. John. That's very nice of you. What is he a doctor in, Bill?
Funkitude.
Oh, nice. The Funkitude. Mm-hmm. I dig that, Bill. You know
Funkitude
what I'm saying?
Of the Tasty Toad.
Kaluuya Jang.
Yeah.
Dang, motherfucker. Sorry.
All right, everybody, that was episode 285 of Entertainment Landfill. Woo! You know what? I don't know what I was smoking, but didn't I say we had two voicemails and I only played one? I think I was so out of it.
Only Hannah's.
Yeah, I have a voicemail from a guy named Chayo.
Chayo!
I thought you were kidding.
No, I really do, and I don't know. I feel bad for not playing it, so I'm going to play it right now, Bill.
Okay.
And this is the end of the show. Child will have already tuned out because he's pissed his voicemail didn't get played. And the joke's on him. Here it is.
No way.
Yeah, exactly. So let's check it out, Bill. You ready?
All right, let's do it. Come on, Chayo. Give it to us.
Hello, Nowhere Mulberry. This is...
Wait. Nowhere Mulberry? Huh, already you've gone off the rails.
I think he's called the wrong show.
We are called Entertainment Landfill. Okay, back to the voicemail.
Chayo, I'm calling from the UK. I've been listening to your show for a very long time. I mean... The first episode I remember very clearly was, I think the one that called them, McNaughtland Chiba. You know, when you play the clips of the trippy McDonald Land sort of commercial.
It's a classic.
And yeah, I've been listening to you guys ever since then. And we love your show. I just have no, I don't have anything to criticize over it. Except probably one episode.
Except.
Which is, I would consider it your only bad episode, which was, what was it? That when you reviewed Batman, was it Batman? Oh, what'd you call it? No, the Dark Knight, sorry. The Dark Knight Rises. And Bill just starts going off, and Jason got really angry because they had, you had a whole plan.
Why would you bring this up?
Bill just sort of screwed it up. Whatever, it just, wow, it's just bad. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I really love all your other episodes. I have no complaints.
You have no complaints? You just complained!
I like to
tear that
TV show.
Scar tissue right off.
It's called, it's a British
it
TV show
healed,
called,
man.
Touch of Cloth. And it stars the genius...
Touch of Cloth.
Great John Hannah Batiatis from Spartacus.
Oh, yes.
And
I love that guy.
Yeah, it's a really funny show. It's only got four episodes so far. They only do so they do 1 hour episodes. Two episodes per season, basically. So two 1 hour episodes.
Those weird Brits.
And yeah, it's really really funny. It's the jokes are really juvenile. It's crude. It's basically like The Naked Gun or Airplane, you know, like in that kind of range.
It's a Charlie Brooker show.
Oh, really? Have you seen
it, Bill?
New
crime dramas, like gritty crime dramas, like the violent ones and like the very depressing ones. And they've just put like this really silly tone to it. And I mean, the show looks exactly like a crime drama, like it's lit the right way.
It,
it's
acted
very deadpan and everything.
I'll give you the episodes.
But it's just the lines that they deliver. It's just so silly and weird.
All right, sold, Chayo.
Yeah, I would really highly recommend it. And I really hope you guys talk about it over on the show. I mean, you guys watch it and talk about it on the show because I think it's really funny. Yes, and also, okay, I know this message is getting a bit long, but I also would like you guys to do a Nim Movie Mini on Howard the Duck. I would really like to see you guys talk about that film.
Not
because
happening.
Come on,
you
Bill.
Guys turned me on to that show, that film, because you keep talking about it over
Philzy.
So many episodes.
Come on, Philzy.
About how good the score was and how it's not available on DVD. Not available on DVD.
No, that's Jason
and,
talking about how good the score was.
You know, it's just like this infamous. I never even heard of it until you guys talk about it.
I have to do a single movie meeting by myself.
Yeah, I saw it recently on Netflix. I thought it's a really weird film. And
yeah,
I would really like you guys to do
weird.
That. I'll happily pay $20 for that show.
Holy shit!
Well, all right,
show,
shit, I'm on
it. Stuff to it too.
You had to go and throw money
yep,
into it.
And I guess that's it for now.
We'll do it just for him.
I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye bye.
All right, thanks, Chayo. Sorry. You know, we've got a pretty good average. If we've done 285 shows and you only think one of them is bad, that's pretty good.
I was kind of a dick in that episode anyway, so I take full blame.
I was a grumpy bastard, too, so we've moved on, right?
Yeah. You it's actually not that bad of a movie.
It's actually Steven who turned you and I against each other earlier
that Steven.
Day.
Steven's an asshole. And I can say that because he's not here.
He's a manipulator.
Screw you, Steven.
You never guess what Bill said. What? What'd he say? Hey, Bill, you never guess what Jason said.
What'd he say?
And then the show starts and we're like, oh, hey, Bill.
Hey, Jason. And then I almost called Steven?
And Steven's like, that son of a bitch.
While he like peers over your shoulder all the time, annoying you.
We don't realize he has a diorama of the show at home with us both standing there. And he's like overlooking it.
At each other's throats.
He's like Zeus in Clash of the Titans with the little models
son
and statues.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Steven?
All right, everyone, episode 285. If you'd like to, go to etlandfill.com. You could find a link to our fan club on Facebook. You can find Bill, Steven, and I on Twitter. Also, you can find a link to all of our old shows. Our archive of shows, Bill, has quite a few.
There are.
There are even links to our old holiday packs on there that are now available for free. And that's one thing that, Bill, you and I need to talk about. We need to get a holiday pack together.
We do, ASAP. Running out of time.
Yep. We probably like 3 movie minis, and we hope everyone digs them. I'm not sure Howard the Duck will be in there, but
yeah, maybe that might be a special edition much later.
We'll do that just for Chayo.
But,
yeah, I keep wanting to sing his name. I want to know what the origin
is. Yeah, it's you know, it's got a musicality to it.
It's got a no, not a musicality, Bill. It's got
flavonosity.
Flavonosity.
All right, everyone, call 1-206-376-0272. That's our new voicemail. Got to use that or it'll go away forever. Also, send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or, you know, just send a voicemail to that, too. Or, yeah, you know, join our fan club and talk to us there.
We have fun on there.
Yeah, you know, when we put out a show and we don't hear anything, we generally get bummed out.
Yeah, that's why it took 3 weeks to get a new show.
It's like, why bother?
We go through stages each week. Like, should we do one? The next week, you just get angry. And then the third week, it's just kind of, you get dejected. You're like, we're going to do it for us.
Yeah, we don't care about that anymore. Let's just do it for us. I want to talk about the game launches, Bill, like that thing, the console launches.
Yeah.
So
we're going to bore all the people that are listening to us for movies and TV by talking gaming.
Tang, that's my main thing I'm looking for.
Yeah. And then we're totally going to alienate them by playing Dr. John clips.
Oh, my God. That's all Foggy. He's a huge fan of Dr. John, Bill.
Well, that makes sense.
What's Dr. John's most famous song, would you say? What the hell did Dr. John do?
That right place, wrong time, or wrong place, right time. You gotta be the right place. Gotta be around now. Sometimes I got diarrhea. I can't go in the bathroom. No, God.
Is this it?
Funktosity.
Tangnosity.
Tiptosity.
Hip tang from the yuzu. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
So is your hip tang from the yuzu?
When's it gonna start singing, Bill?
Oh, it'll be the right time.
I've been in the right place.
He sings exactly the way he talks.
Yes, he does.
I've been on the right trail.
All right.
The wrong call. Hit us in a bad place.
If it has flavonosity of the highest order.
All right, thank you, Dr. John.
They only play that song during siege environments where they need to get people out of buildings.
Ah.
Because they start playing that song, you come running out.
They're like, oh, I think it's time to go, guys.
Turn it off!
Zip it.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the show with me this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We'll start working on a holiday pack, and guys, we'll be back soon. So thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye. Bye. Wee.
And stay out.
Is your hip tang from the yuzu?
Now this is podcasting.
How could you have hot sauce and not like it hot? It's a hot sauce challenge.
What is she talking about?
You took too long. Now your candy's gone. That's what happened.
That's my credo.